Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Previously on Best in Show.
The best episode of Best in Show ever didn't get recorded.
It's Fred's debut, in a way.
Oh, wow. It's really just, wow. It's sad.
So what are you going to do about this anger issue, Bri? You really need to settle it.
Maybe that's healthy. Maybe not being so angry is better. Like, I still hate everybody out in the street. It sounds like you're one of those people.
Yeah, I just don't like people's faces.
Ma'am, excuse me.
What?
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now my pleasure to introduce the best of the best. Best in Show.
Welcome!
Just like that, a hearty good evening to you, and welcome. Welcome. Welcome to Best in Show. Best in Show Radio. I'm here on Hero Talk, the thing you do with your ears, and the place to be, the magical wonderland, the fantasy cavalcade, all that razzmatazz. Please be a part, won't you? 877-744-6405 is the messenger. HowTalk, HeroesTalk.com. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. I'm going to be here with you, if you're going to stay with us, here on Best in Show. Here on Best in Show for the next, I'd say, about 3 hours. If you stick for 3 hours, I'll be here. My name's Chris. I'll be one of your little pals, one of your buddies that hangs out here. I look across the table, and I see a little special friend, someone that I think is going to be here with us for at least two of those 3 hours, maybe even the third two. His name's Keith.
Thank you. Hi. I'll be spending the first hour trying to take care of things.
Okay.
So move right along past me.
Please. I understand. He has lots of things he has to take care of. Welcome. I'd like to welcome to the show this gentleman at the other end of the table. His name's Fred.
Hola.
Would you like me to make you a copy of the Rosetta Stone disc so you could speak hola?
Gracias.
Mi amore esta amigo.
Hey, off air.
What do you
really have a copy of the Rosetta Stone disc?
Of course I do.
Can you give me that? Can you lend it to me? I'll pay you. I'll pay them.
No. I'm just giving it to Fred.
Well, thank you guys for inviting me here. I wonder what Keith is doing that's so busy.
You're uninvited now, Fred, until you give me my disc back.
What is Keith doing that he's so busy?
Well, he walked in the door at 8:03, so he's turning his computer on.
It's 8:02.
He walked in at 8:09, now that it's 8:07 here on the East Coast. But, so it's very exciting. Very exciting. Well, welcome. I feel like there's something wrong with my voice. Like, when I'm saying welcome, you know, it doesn't sound right. It's like when if I try and say right now, and now here is Brian. See, it doesn't sound right. It sounds, wait, now here, Brown. It's Brown.
Thanks, Chris.
Welcome.
Welcome.
I really have a problem. Like, my throat feels kind of weird. weird. I can't even talk. I don't even understand what the hell's wrong with
this. This is an immediate thing because we came to the show together in the same car and you seemed to be fine moments before it started.
It was about 10 minutes ago I started saying welcome and it just didn't feel right. I don't know what it just feels right. I don't know.
You got a little cupcake throat on the W-E-L. That little welcome.
Welcome. Well, welcome.
Wow, you can force a cupcake throat. Look at you.
Welcome, guys. Welcome to the show. It's Bastin Show.
I think what happened is you were probably planning on me doing the intro tonight, and then at the last second I asked you to do it, and you got so excited you started choking on your own words and saliva.
That's probably what it was. That's probably what it was. But 10 minutes before that, I was still already nervous. Maybe it was the anticipation that I knew it was coming. I don't know. But the one thing that is right now, the one thing that does make a whole lot of sense, is our executive producer. It's Robert. Hi, Robert.
Goodbye.
What do you mean? Oh, I say welcome, you say goodbye?
I said goodbye today. I did not say welcome, I said goodbye.
Oh, what do you mean? What are you talking about, Bobby G?
I quit my job today.
Yay! Oh. So that's it. There's only one person, two people left on Best in Show with jobs. Yay!
Well, I actually gave 2 weeks' notice, so I'm still employed.
Boo! I thought it was only two. Then there were three.
And then in 2 weeks, there's three?
Yeah, no, I didn't quit my job without having another job. I actually got another job.
Ooh.
He smashed glass and just ran through the office just like punching people, went wild like Stone Cold.
And then told him he's leaving in 2 weeks.
You got to be like me and Brian. Just quit your job. Oh, wait. That's right.
Yeah. Rob, so what did you say when you said you're quitting? Because you went in to them. You said, I'm leaving.
Yeah, I said, I'm I think I said I'm out.
Really? Did you really say I'm out like that?
Higgsy out. So he said
out. So
did you say you were Audi 5000?
No, but
you should have.
You threw your clipboard to the floor at Chris Ryan, the Chris Rock show.
Oddly enough, they fire you if you do say I'm Audi 5000. So you better mean it.
So were they sad that you left?
Or yeah. Oh no. Yeah, I was there 10 years. So
10 years. You've worked the same job 10 years.
Yeah, 10 years. Wow. So, but now.
Why would you want to leave a job with that much? That you have that much behind, that many years behind.
Seniority?
Yes.
Hello.
I was going to say pain, frustration.
No, I got, it's kind of, I wouldn't say a dead-end job, but I definitely was reaching my limits there. So okay. I have a better opportunity to do something similar, if not the same, better somewhere else and get to run it, you know.
Well, congratulations to you. I'm glad that you're moving forward. When do you hire Keith and Brian? How many weeks in?
Mistake today? Number one and two.
I'm hoping they start tonight. I'm saying by hour two. I'm hoping that both of you guys have jobs. I'm going to negotiate good salaries for you. Don't worry. Got you covered. But Fred is your agent. He takes 90% of your salary each, so sorry.
That's what those glasses are for.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's
congrats, Rob.
It's awesome. I feel like a weight is lifted off my shoulder. I mean, it's the stresses of the baggage that I have at the other job, the task list of things I have to do, I don't have to do anymore. I mean, I'll help out the next 2 weeks, but it's nice to start anew and not have to deal with all.
I've got to be honest, I don't think I've ever quit a job before in my life.
You didn't just go up and say quit? Well, you didn't go back.
No, I don't think I've ever quit. I think I've been fired from every job that I've ever
had. I was just going to say, I unintentionally quit one, meaning I wanted to stay there, but they didn't want me.
They wanted you to stay, and they said, get out.
Well, Rob, are you going to pay more money?
Yes.
Well, that's big.
And title, I'm a vice president. So.
Ooh, VP. Yeah. Look at that. What do you got? Are you getting paid six figures?
I can't go and divulge into salary as a recorded
what
podcast.
Do you mean?
Chris, you think he's getting six figures as a VP, right?
He has
gotta
to be.
And if he's not, he's getting...
If he's not, then he works for a weird company.
He's getting jerked.
Weird. A weird company.
That word doesn't work out well either.
Yeah, there's no vice president on this earth except for like the vice president of maybe Heroes Talk Enterprises. Like, there's no vice president of anything that doesn't get six figures.
Right?
It's crazy.
Totally.
I know, I know field grunts that make that money. Come on.
Rob, $120,000 a year? Awesome.
Dude. No, 176,
you think?
176.50. He showed me the offer letter.
176?
176.50.
Okay.
Plus he gets to
take over.
No.
Sorry.
He gets to take over if the president gets shot. He gets the company.
Wow, look at that. It's secretary of the secretary.
There you go. I'm sorry, you're right. So he's got to kill the CEO and the secretary. And then you're in, Rob.
Right. You were saying, Keith?
It's $176.50 an hour.
Oh, no, an hour?
Oh, no.
That's coming from 100K, isn't it?
I don't even understand who that is. Silliness.
After taxes.
But in all honesty, it is good news for you. I'm excited for you. I think it's great. I think it's terrific.
It quadruples my salary.
I'm going to say.
Quadruples.
I'm sorry to hear that. What, at $176 a day?
Well, I mean, if we're talking, you know, $120,000, $176,000, it's almost quadruple.
They pay you? Aren't you a teacher?
Don't those kids that Sally Struthers collects money for get more money a day for you?
For 78 cents a day.
Yeah,
whatever
get
it is.
Half of that. That's sickening. Oh, my God.
Yeah. At least you get a free lunch.
It's true. It's true.
As long as that little bastard stops eating it, you're good.
Oh,
you're
boy.
Good. If you guys don't know what we're talking about, you got to go to the download section. Head over to bestinshowradio.com, click on recorded audio, and listen to some past episodes of this, I was going to say fine program. It's just a program that we do here week in and week out here on Best Show. Yeah, like you were saying in there, talking about quitting and leaving the place. I legitimately, honestly, don't think I've ever quit a job ever in my life. Am I alone in that?
I think you're also. It's not true. I believe you worked at a pizza shop that you quit.
What pizza shop did I quit?
The pizza shop that you worked at.
I've worked at like five different pizza shops. I don't remember quitting any of them.
Did you go from that to working at a cab place? Didn't you quit your cab place as well? Like, you weren't fired or let go or disbarred.
Oh, yeah, I guess you're right. But those aren't, like, real jobs to me.
You quit that office manager position by liking RonFez.net too much.
That's true. That's very true. Yeah, I'm saying, like, a real job, like a legit job.
A friend of ours got me a job as a cable guy. A friend of ours got me a job as a cable guy.
He got me that same job, and I quit that, too.
And he was supposed to train me and really didn't train me all that well. And then suddenly I was thrust out into the world by myself to go do cable.
You were languishing in installations with no preparation?
None. And I was I had to climb 20 feet up a telephone pole. And it, like, 3 weeks after making no money, I literally called him up, like, in tears, crying. And I was like, I cannot do this.
You legitimately cried?
Crying.
No, you didn't.
Crying.
You are so gay. It's unreal.
I swear to God.
Wait a second. You were crying about being out of your comfort level of working or not getting any money?
Most of all, comfort level of working. Because I was, like, in the rain, like, on the corner of, like, the busy streets on Staten Island.
You guys want me to work?
You weren't crying because you had to work in the rain, did you?
Just because I feared for my life. Up on a telephone pole by myself that I really didn't even know was trained to get on. No harness. I didn't know what I was doing.
Fred, for the record, I could have alerted you to this. Being on the other end, the guy that actually booked the appointments to send you out, you never had to show up anyway.
Yeah, it's true. So I remember quitting that job. That was a hell job, man. Hell.
Yeah, as you mentioned, I actually worked there two for 2 days and I quit. So the more I'm thinking about, I don't think there's a job I didn't quit. I think every job I've left, I've quit. I think that's what actually happened.
What about you had some soda related job? Like,
oh yeah, I didn't quit. I just stopped showing up. It's a little different, right?
And honestly, that was lazy because the job basically consisted of you driving around with me. Going and running into the store for 10 minutes and coming out and then like
buying soda.
Yeah, just like or driving around and
soda job.
Hey, you guys want this new soda? Mango Madness or whatever it was.
Yeah, the job consisted of me saying, Keith, you want a Coke? Run in here, grab one. I'm gonna get bagels, you want a Coke?
I had a job one summer, I was in high school, I worked for the parks department and I would meet up at a certain park and a guy, you know, would pick us up in a van and it would be me and like the 7 or 8 most ghetto ass kids you've ever seen in your life. And we'd go from park to park cleaning up the parks.
That's like, called community service.
Right? I was just about to say that's what happens when you commit crimes.
Exactly. So basically I got a job, you know, I didn't do anything wrong to get this job. But I was working.
You applied.
I was working with criminals having to do community service and they weren't getting paid. You know, they were just paying off their,
debt to society.
Exactly. So they were all jealous of me that I was getting paid. And every
wait, hold on. Back this up a second. They mix employed workers with community service?
Back in like 1992, they did.
I imagine they still do.
But like what you would, but you weren't like supervising these guys. You were just, your job was to pick up trash.
Just like
whatever.
That, definitely. And there was
the
like
same uniform and everything.
Yeah, same
makes
uniform.
Sense because
theirs didn't have like orange and the word like corrections across the back of it.
And he didn't have chains at his feet.
And every time I would get my check that day, I would have to like be all sneak about it, like go away from the group because I didn't want them to know what like when my payday was, when my check was coming out because I thought I was going to be robbed.
Did you ever cry on that job?
No, almost inside I did, definitely not on the outside. But that was a job that I just never showed up to anymore. I didn't quit. That was one of those jobs that you just never go to again. No calls, no nothing. I like those jobs. Those are easy breakup jobs. What about you, Keith? You ever have one of those?
One of those jobs.
That you just quit and you don't even tell anybody?
You don't tell anybody.
Yeah, that's the best kind.
It's not that you're not supposed to tell somebody. It's like you're being a jerk by not telling them and just never showing up.
Exactly. Like a soda job.
I worked at Tape World.
Tape World.
As a matter of fact, Tape World used to be in the Staten Island Mall. A friend of mine got me a job there.
What is Tape? Does it sell audio cassette tapes?
Or yeah, Tape World was Trans World Entertainment, who owned Record World, Coconuts. Not Sam Goody, but they owned Record World, Coconuts, and like some other stores like that. They opened a store called Tape World because Record World had an outdated name, so they opened Tape World.
Second floor of the mall, right over by Sears Wing. It was a really great store.
I clocked my ticket on Tape World either.
Really?
Yeah, it was right where that little candy shop was, that little candy stand.
Oh, Ye Olde Candy Shop.
Yield, yes.
Okay, yeah, I remember that one.
So, I worked there, and I was seasonal help for Christmas, and a friend of mine got me the job. And then he said to me, yeah, the manager really likes you. She said that she's definitely going to keep you. And I was like, all right. And I never went back.
She wants to keep you when Beta World opens up. She wants you to be the manager.
Why didn't you like that job?
Just
crap pay.
I think I was preoccupied. I had hobbies.
They wouldn't let him text. They would get so mad at him if he texted at their office.
No, they wouldn't let me send like smoke signals. Yeah, I don't know. I had hobbies that interfered, so I couldn't really keep the job.
Like
walking around.
Yeah, you doing stuff.
Okay.
I was a professional shopper. Put it that way.
Bro, you had to have quit some jobs.
Yeah, the last job I had before this IT thing, I quit so that I could take the IT job.
The bread job.
The bread job. Yeah. That's, again, I don't consider those real jobs.
I actually had to train my replacement for like 3 or 4 weeks before. The guy who wanted me at the IT job was like, stop doing that. Come here.
Did you have to put a resignation letter in?
Not to the bread job, no.
What do you have to train a bread guy to do? Drive someplace and drop the bread off. This is what you do.
Not just someplace, but 500 places.
I've learned from Brian, when I pick up Brian on show nights, we have these great conversations, and I learn about like what his bread life used to be like. And for some reason, he never wants to share them on the air for some reason. I guess he doesn't think people would find it interesting, but it's so effing compelling.
Wonder bread.
The madness of him explaining to me 2 weeks ago that part of the job consisted of him having to get into fist fights with people to win the items that people needed that day. Is insane.
It's Wonder Bri, the superhero, you know the bread superhero.
I have a question that I never had answered with the whole, and I don't know if you've mentioned this over the course of the years with your bread job, but the tag coloring, understanding what goes on with the coloring and how do you know what's fresh and what's not fresh with bread.
You didn't do that. You didn't do that kind of bread.
I guess I don't know what that
means.
What
kind of bread did you deliver?
No, you're thinking of bread like in a supermarket, like that goes on shelves. I thought you were doing more like rolls and Italian bread and bagels.
Did you ever do any like supermarket bread type of like where they have the plastic tags on them and they're colored and you can.
Some of the bread that I shuffled was like pre-wrapped or wax-wrapped, and even like, you know, different brands that you might be familiar
bread
with.
Bread lingo.
Right. Chris is right. For the most part, it was like the rolls and the sort of like the sub rolls and all the focaccias and the specialty breads for cafeterias and stuff.
So adorable. So adorable that you talk like that.
Focaccias.
By the way, our buddy Entropy is saying in the Heroes Talk Bread Life. Wasn't that a gangster rap album? That actually was Brian's gangster rap album.
I got the tattoo. You want to see it? It now looks like a big loaf.
So that job you quit. You actually.
MC Yeast.
It was, I mean, Chris is right. It was kind of like psychotic. It was a really hard job because it took, it was like a 14-hour day.
Bread's not that heavy.
6 days a week. It sucked. And you had to do it at night. And yes, it was heavy. It was actually heavy boxes that I was huffing around and throwing in and out of vans all day long. And on top of that, yeah, it was in a warehouse with a bunch of other losers who were all managing their own bread route and not enough stuff was there. So you had to kind of. Not just kinda. You had to fight for the things. Yeah, I actually regularly. You kind of had to get into fights so they would be scared of you, so that they wouldn't steal the stuff from you.
Wait a minute. With the employees or with the people that you were selling the bread to?
The other, for lack of a better word, employees. Everyone there was their own boss.
It was like a wholesale place where they all went in and they would all claim crap and take it out to
deliver. This is mine. I'm taking it to my customers. And if you didn't fight for that stuff, they'd steal it from you. And then you wouldn't be able to get to your customers and then get fined. So in order – and they take that money out of your check. So in order not to get fined, you had to get into fistfights.
Well, how did you protect your product? Like, did you have to go there at a certain time and put it at a certain like corner of the warehouse?
Yeah.
How did you protect it?
You actually did. I mean, being there in front of it all the time.
But
and
don't
guarding
they bake you your goods and those are your goods? I don't understand the concept that you just like, here, I'm going to bake 1,000 rolls and
but that's
go fend for it.
The way, exactly the way that he made it seem is like, oh, we've sold – 250 roles. Make 240, yes. And the 10 that are short, those people are going to have to pay us a hefty fine for not delivering the bread that we didn't supply them.
Sort of, yeah.
Crazy, right?
Man, though.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. You, in order to make sure that you weren't the guy getting stuck with 10 less loaves of bread, you had to show up early enough to get it. And if you didn't, you know, someone else would take it from you. You were the last guy, and you were the guy being taken advantage of.
Basically, the first day that you showed up there, you came over there with some sort of, like, bread peel and smacked the biggest guy in the yard with it and knew that from that day forward, no one would ever take your bread.
Shawshank Redemption.
I was never anyone's bread bitch.
So did you go up? Did you actually get into a fight one time and protect your products?
Many times. You had to – it was regular. You would get into a fight – probably once a month. Like, a fight would break out maybe two or three times a week, and you would be involved in a fight at least once a month. And if you weren't, you would get stuff stolen from you. Because there were kind of people, you knew that people who weren't fighting.
That holla's mine, bro. That holla's mine. Hands off the holla.
And holla! Give me that!
And on top of that, they pack everyone in really close to each other. So and it was a bit of a space issue trying to negotiate the warehouse and getting everything packed in the right way in a very speedy manner. So you were constantly getting in other people's space, and there were very – they had sectioned off certain things with tape and markers. And if anyone crossed your line, you had to, like, step up and protect your turf. Wow. It was – yeah, it was pretty psychotic.
Protect your bread. I love it.
It really was.
You guys had some other job. Didn't you both quit that job?
We forcefully quitted.
Our work just dried up. When you're talking about when we were doing the cash register and stuff. Yeah, that work just dried up. We didn't necessarily quit.
Brian worked for the Oz Bakery. Was that it, Brian?
Sometimes it felt like that. That's the reason I tried to go into it a little earlier, but that's the reason why I own these really expensive glasses. Because I can get punched in the face and my glasses won't be deformed.
So if some bread guy wants to take your products, you're ready.
And they work, by the way.
Thank God you quit that job. Any job that really gets you into physical danger.
I worked that for way too long. I stayed in it, and it sucked my life away. It's just so many hours, so much of a nightmare.
So how long have you guys been on the longest job? How many years?
For me, the one I was just let go from.
How many years was it?
Not long at all, like
36.
Five and a half.
Okay.
And technically, I was a temp for like a year of it, a little bit more, so really just like about 4.5.
Mine was like 6, the longest job that I had, 6 years. Worked at an office supply store. You, Chris?
Where I'm at right now. It's only been 4 years.
I've never
stayed at a job very, very long. Most I do really well at a job, and the place is doing really great, and then goes out of business because they realize they've been paying the people that were doing really well too much money for them to stay in business. And that's how it works.
Yeah. I think I'm about 4 or 5 years as well. That is actually, in the context, I believe, of our current times, a really long time. People don't hold jobs. It seems like we don't have – it was weird to hear Rob say that he's been in one place for 10 years at a shot. That just doesn't exist anymore.
Well, we have a friend. We have a friend, a mutual friend of all of us, who got a job when he was 15 years old.
Oh, boy.
Started sweeping the floors outside of a business. The business owner hired him. It's now 25 years later, and he still works there.
Is he a fry guy yet?
What's that?
Is he on the fries yet?
Yes.
Is he working the cash register? Did they give him the drive-thru?
Soon.
Well,
soon.
Right, okay. Is he a manager there, though, Keith?
Oh, yeah.
He's been a manager
for a long time.
He's not still sweeping the
A friend
the
of all of ours?
See, that's a friend of all of us.
See, that's where...
A friend of the show. We may not have had a big party last year if it wasn't for him.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy, though.
You know, that was the whole
thing. I understand what
you're saying. That was the whole thing.
That's not a job.
And how long has he been a manager for? And it's probably a dead-end manager job, though.
I'm not suggesting that it's that anything bad about it. I'm just saying that I forget that because he's not even really a person to me. This friend of ours is actually a part of that store. Like that store that he works at, like he is part of it.
You think he's one of the statues just came to life?
Exactly. I just think he's part of that store
that
he
works
at.
He's a column in the end. He lives up the roof.
I think Rob is right. It is a dead-end manager job. Like he,
that's what
I
was at.
I don't think he could go any further than
that. I wanted to progress to the next level, and that's why I left. If I could have still been there for another – I could retire there if I want to.
Well, I think in his case, it's a job that focuses around one of his passions. So, you know, it's pretty much where he wants to be. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that it's a bad thing. I just literally – don't consider that, like, if he were to ever leave that place,
that place wouldn't exist anymore.
The same thing.
It never existed then.
Yeah, like, because as far as before I knew him, I knew him as the weird dude with the long hair that works at that store at the Staten Island Mall, back when it was at the Staten Island Mall. You know, so that's the way I always think of that place. I don't know.
I get the feeling that these days people just move in and out of jobs pretty quickly. And the idea is you only move so far in one company. You don't get promotions as readily as you do threatening a promotion and then getting out into another company.
By the way, little known fact, that friend I just mentioned fired me from that place.
Oh, wow. Did he fire you from the new place too? He just said, yeah, you know. Get out of there.
He called
them. You're
fired.
Well, Brian, I think that's happening more with the white-collar jobs. The blue-collar, like city jobs and stuff like that, those people tend to stay the 20 years to retirement, 30 years. You know, they're not getting out of those jobs.
Yeah. You think they're sticking through the municipal jobs so that they can work towards the retirement?
Oh, absolutely.
And don't they retire ridiculously early? Like, well, they start working when they're 17, and they retire when they're 30.
A New York City garbage man works 20 years. So if you start working when you're 20, you're retired by your 40. By the time you're 40, that's probably
so.
Ridiculous.
Brian would have retired 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow, you would have had an opportunity to be retired.
You still have student loans.
You'd be collecting a pension instead. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Oh man, I'm so mad. When I was 18 years old, somebody kept telling me, "Yeah, you should take the sanitation test. You retire in 20 years." And I was just like, "20 years? Who cares? 20 years?
I'll be dead.
Flying cars. I'll be dead. Exactly. I'll be dead. I'd be like, I'd now be 3 years away from retirement, and I guarantee you, I'd probably have a driver's license too.
CDL one. CDL wow. one even.
And you love the color green.
I do.
Yeah. So speaking of all the all this job madness that we're talking about and quitting jobs and having jobs and I don't know all moving on to new jobs, I had an interesting experience at my job today. I came into work today to find an email announcing that the chairman of my company's birthday was today, and my company is kind of a pretty huge company. It's a pretty large company, and it's an Indian based company. So the chairman of my company, from India. Are you playing guitar now?
No.
What was that? You were just finger picking.
I'm trying to do the sitar. No.
Okay, good, nice. So it's his birthday today, and I found out as I'm looking through this that Indian people look at the owner of my company and the conglomerate that my company is a part of as almost like I'm trying to think what the word is, a god. Basically, he's considered a god in India, and it's just a weird thing to me. As I'm looking at this, I'm just like, wait, no, this isn't really real and isn't surreal. So I have this little piece of email that I got to me here, and I'm not going to mention any names or anything because the way I understand it, this god takes very unkindly to his name being used in public. Not that, you know, the six people that listen to the show would know, but it's his birthday, and you know, we're all supposed to be paying tribute to him for his big birthday. I get this email about this tribute that I'm supposed to be paying to him, and it explains in this email that with his constant encouragement and guidance, the group has become a leader in many areas of business and is firmly on the path of achieving even bigger success. Most of you have the dream and desire to convey to him your good wishes, but they remain unsaid in your heart only. Today we have created a blog so you can give your wishes to him. The idea that they think that all the workers of this company have feelings in our heart that we're also dying to express to our boss that he's so great and he's the super duper greatest guy in the world is such a crazy concept to me because he's just like a dude. He's a dude who owns a company. Great, it's a big company. But he's just a dude who owns a company. Why would we be insane?
That's just like his assistant or the secretary that wrote that in order to, like, hey, let's celebrate his birthday. And she's very flowery with her language.
Allow me to point out to you that there are people that have seen me wearing the shirt of my company out on the street and say, oh, my God, you work for him? That's fantastic. People of Indian descent in the streets of New York have seen this shirt and been like, oh, my God, you work for his company? Oh, he's so great, isn't he? Like, it's insane that I work for a guy that is considered almost a god.
Chris, go onto the blog and wish for his death.
All right, let me ask you
mix
something.
Mix it up.
I shouldn't. No, I will anyway. How many arms does he have?
Is he painted gold?
Is he blue?
That's exactly what the big jokes that we were having today at the other. It's insane. It's insane that people look at him like this. I did try and log on to the blog just so I could see. I wanted to see some people's excitement as we went through it. And apparently the American piece of the company does not get access to the blog, I guess, because they thought we would, deface it like jerks.
Chris, yes, please go into the blog and just ask all Slumdog Millionaire questions. just constantly.
I desperately wanted, more than anything, I really just wanted to see, I wanted to see people worshiping at the foot of our company's Ganesh, basically.
Can you elaborate on that, Fred? Because I don't know what that means. I haven't seen that movie.
What's that?
What do you mean, Slumdog Millionaire questions?
Well, it's an Indian movie. I would figure you just ask all Slumdog Millionaire questions, just totally unrelated to.
Right. You want me to ask him what's your favorite Bollywood film and stuff like that? Yes, is that what you want me to go instead?
You should ask him some personal questions.
You know what? Because I'd get mad. I'd get pissed that blog is not accessible to the Americans if it was given out. That's what an Indian giver.
Oh, man. I didn't even see that one coming. I will say that I started yelling at my IT guy saying, dude, why can't I look at these? He's like, I don't know. I had nothing to do with it. That's what the other side of the company. I don't care about that. And I was like, oh, all right. Forget it.
It sounds very corny. And you know how the Indians feel about corn.
We all love our chairman.
Hey, if Chris says the boss Hindu, Hindu.
We all love our chairman. He's reaching an important milestone in celebrating his birthday. Under his able leadership and vision. Oh, my God. It's so fantastic. I guess, and there's a picture of him standing there with his arms folded, looking kind of like he's dressed like Bruce Lee.
Well, let me see what he looks like.
The patron saint of their paycheck. Basically, they just have to kiss his ass because his signature is on their chest.
And I did say this earlier to you. I'll explain a little bit further at the end of the show because I don't want to get myself fired for those that are listening. But
you know what?
He really
is. The god could be looking over.
He is some sort of deity.
I would use this guy for 10 seconds. I would blog positively about him.
He's really great, right?
I would ask him why he's wearing a chef's outfit.
That's the thing. When you say he is the chairman, they refer him as the chairman. Yeah. It's like he's the guy from the Iron Chef. Is the whole thing the chairman? It's really great.
I can tell he's not a god because he actually really exists. Like there he
you
is.
Can't
I
tell
can
that. You can't tell that for sure. That's just a picture. That could be Photoshop. Look at this painting. That means that this exists too, for that matter. But yeah, it's crazy. Yes, Erka Durka, my boss is Mao Zedong. Yes. And all day today, I have been referring to him as Chairman Mao. Yeah.
Nice.
His secret ingredient: omnipotence.
Oh, delicious. Yeah. So it was just like a crazy thing to me. And the idea that people really worship just like a guy who's just like a really big businessman.
Well, has he done a lot for like poor angry. Communities or something? Is that why people like
Yes, I actually think he drinks the blood of the innocent and actually turns it into gold shoes for his virgins. That's, I think, what he does.
But did he make something? Does he make a company? Did he make like a little iPod or something? What did he make?
No. No,
he didn't make anything.
Nope.
He's just beloved.
Is he a tech guy?
Yes, he's a technical guy that does technical things. He's good.
Like, can I use him if I needed an IT guy? He would come to my house and fix it for me?
I'm sure he would. I'm sure he'd come change a light bulb for you.
If I asked him to, would he know how? Is he a computer guy?
I've got to be honest with you. The holy chairman who sits atop the temple, I've never spoken to him, so I don't know anything about him.
You don't
him.
Even know what he does?
It's the Wizard of Oz. He might not even exist as far as I'm concerned. That's why when Brian said, I know that he's real, I'm like, God, I don't know. He might as well be the same thing.
Oh, it's also – it seems like they're making a big deal of it because this is the big 5-0 for him as well. Like it's a milestone in his life. You know, you would think that would – maybe that's why they're being a little overly important. And sharing titbits.
It's 88? Is that what you're talking about? Titbit 88?
Not tidbits, by the way.
Oh,
titbits
sorry.
That they're sharing.
Sorry. Well, it was an odd, confusing thing to do this. This is the first thing, I guess, of my company being purchased by an Indian company, of me seeing something insane come through my emails that was supposed to be going to this thing. So
Chris, why aren't you outsourced then?
What do you mean?
If it's purchased by an Indian company, wouldn't they give it to the India people?
My company is fantastic. It's a great, great company, and I love it, and I think everything's terrific, and no one's ever going to get outsourced. There was an agreement that was signed that keeps a lot of the jobs in America when we were sold.
Excellent.
Thanks. I wrote it myself.
You should learn how to say like a couple of phrases in that language. What language is that? Like Baldeshi? What's the language that they speak?
I don't know. Indian, I would assume, would be the language.
You should learn a couple of phrases. So if the guy comes around, you'd be like, hey, In some Indian phrase.
I'm gonna. Hey, how you doing?
Baba Ganoush.
Hey, tandoori chicken, huh? How you doing, pal?
Exactly. I mean, the guy might like that.
Hey, not for nothing. How good is India?
Hey, bro. Oh, you look great. Would you just bathe in the Ganges or something? You look terrific, pal.
Well, congratulations. I would Google him. I would say.
Googled him. I have Googled him already. His holiness, his grace, his eminence.
And would you find out? Nothing? No, like.
I found out all sorts of things that I'm not going to say on the air because people that I work with listen to this show and I don't want to get in trouble.
For the record, Rob, at his new job, not only makes more than that guy, he has four countries blogging about him.
Wow. Wow. I didn't. Congratulations, Rob.
I don't have to pray in a rug.
Hey, wait a minute. That's inappropriate. I don't know. Well, it's just a weird thing, and I thought it was very exciting, and I enjoyed it. And that was my employment story of the day here on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Here on Here's Talk, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be. You want to be a part? You can. 877-744-6405. Instant Messenger. There's lots of ways to get us. Keith, Chris, whatever. Just type Keith on Word on your computer and see if he answers. See what's going to happen. Awesome.
You know, I got to say, looking at that piece of paper that you just passed around that showed your benevolent employer on it, it actually made me angry that kind of sentiment was being shared by people who work under him. I mean, I guess a lot of it is just me thinking it's kind of kiss asses, getting a little too aggressive with it. But
I think the entire thing is that it's apparently a nation of kiss asses that kiss this guy's ass.
But it does. It angers me a little bit, and I've been dealing with a lot of anger recently. And you know, it's a running theme in my life lately. And one thing that's making me angry these days, which has no, there really shouldn't be, I guess, is the concept of taking a vacation. I was never like a big fan of taking a vacation when I was gainfully employed and actually had to like stop my life and like, you know. Get away from the house and leave it for a little while.
Except for when you went to Fire Island.
Even that was like a chore, kind of, to make it happen and secure it. And I guess once I was out there, it wasn't painful, but I definitely fought the idea of going out there. I've realized...
These things have changed since you're now, as Steve the LARPer is calling it, fun-employed.
Nice. I mean, it used to be kind of like, it's coming up to summertime. I know that my girlfriend's going to want to take a vacation. It's frustrating that I'm going to have to stop my life to manufacture fun and go, like, do this thing. And, like, now that I'm not working and I have to spend money to do it and I have to, I don't know, it sucks. Vacations are really bad. They're not fun for me at all. The whole process of planning a vacation is the worst.
Guess what, Brian? Your whole life is a vacation. You do nothing all day. That's what a vacation is. You've been vacationing for the past, what, 2 months?
But take note. You can't say that because look at him all suited up. I picked him up at an office today. He actually went to work. He's a grown-up. He does some work sometimes. He freelances. It's not like he's vacationing constantly.
Well, I mean...
Hey.
It's not like he's keithing it up, as we say.
To be honest, I have been working, but it hasn't been a dependable situation, so even though I'm not, you know, impoverished at this point, I'm not very comfortable about my financial situation. So the urge to go out and spend a large amount of money. Vacations are not exactly cheap. Even if you go to a cheap vacation, they're still ridiculously expensive. And you pay twice as much or five times as much to do something like sleep at a vacation than you do, you know, just staying at home.
It's from a guy that's buying rare records at the vinyl store. Oh. So it took the vacation. That was the final straw for your money spending? Like, you could spend on the little things, but a thing over a certain amount of money is no good?
Kind of. It's the big, like, little things here and there are easier for me to kind of take a hit at. And honestly, spending money on that record was a little nerve-wracking for me. I had to do it because it was there. It was something I'd been wanting for a
long
time.
But let me ask you a question. You're going on vacation with your girl. She's employed. She gets money. So why not? Doesn't she get happy that she wants to go on vacation with you? I think when you say vacation, if you're single, it's one thing. Or if you're, you know, just in a, you know, or dating somebody, not living with them. But, you know, your situation, I'm thinking, you know, I think there's more pressure. Is there pressure on you from the other side to go?
There definitely is. I mean, this is a major source of any kind of fighting or frustration in the relationship is her – like, apparently it's the worst possible torture that I could think of to leave the house and pay for it and go try to manufacture fun. And it's never fun. It's always some touristy kind of, you know, if you're going somewhere that you're not familiar with, you never go and actually have the real experience. You
it's
have
not fun until someone's on the floor bleeding, Brian.
I don't know. It's just you're always seem to be kind of dragged through by the nose to go do the tourist shopping thing or go see the tourist thing in that city or town or whatever. And it's never the most enjoyable thing in New York City, for example. I wouldn't do any tourist things here because they're crappy.
Well, but what are you talking about, Lady Liberty? You wouldn't like to go on the Staten Island
horrible,
Ferry.
Horrible.
Staten Island Ferry. Look at Lady Liberty. Come to St. George on Staten Island. Just really enjoy
yourself.
That's
really yourself. How you feel about tourism in New York City. Like, Staten that's the first
Island.
St. George,
oh,
Staten Island.
What's the first thing? Forest Avenue? They can go up Forest Avenue or Highland Boulevard on Staten nice. Island?
But Brian's lying because he would go to a vacation where it was something that he was interested in. Like, he went to, like, Twin Peaksville.
I was just going to say he would definitely visit that town in Portland where yeah. Twin Peaks
or
is
Or Nintendo
from.
Mania. Something, some stupid video game like conference that he would go to, you know what I mean? He would go to a vacation where it was centered around him, and he would have a good
Wait,
time.
Are you suggesting that Oregon and Washington are different states?
Snoqualmie, Washington, is where Twin Peaks was filmed.
But yeah. But that's not in Oregon. That's not the same place. No. I'm embarrassed.
North America.
Okay, I apologize, Bunny Knuckles. I thought it was all the same state. I'm
well,
sorry.
It's funny you should mention that, Fred, because honestly, there was one place that I had a pipe dream about going on vacation this year, and if I could have weaseled my way into it, I might have tried to make it happen. It's the E3 conference that's happening right now in Los Angeles, which is a video game conference, and that would be wildly entertaining for me to go. But
the
E3 conference in Los Angeles. But I mean, even
the
E3
conference hosted by G4.
Even that would be crappy.
But what is it, a computer conference? Is that what it is?
It's a big open area where different companies who make and who manufacture and sell video games go to talk about their new games that are coming out this year, and you get to play demos and see like all the new stuff that's happening. You get to see it all happen wild.
Fred, if you want to learn anything about it, just head over to Radio Bronze Fans. Head over to the Video Games Forum, and Brian does a little dissertation every day about something that's going on at E3. It's very exciting.
But even that would kind of suck because I'd be going to a place, I'd be paying a lot of money to stay in a hotel, I have to pay for tickets to get into that thing, and nothing would be happening. Like, I wouldn't actually get to sit down and play any video games. I'd get to get a little taste here and there and have to stand in line for 2 hours to have that.
Yeah, but you know what? You'll be able to debate with people all day long about what is better or what trophies or this and that, and that's what you're going to get out of it. It's the people around you that are going to keep you entertained or keep the vacation going.
Well, I mean, it is, like I said, it's a significant source of fighting now at my house because my girlfriend is all about vacations. She loves it. She not only does she want it to happen, but she needs it to happen every year at least once. And if it doesn't, there's a fight. And now it's like, I can't pay that kind of money.
Go back to Fire Island.
That's one thing that we're discussing doing. Taking the cheap Fire Island midweek kind of thing. But she's caving in because...
Midweek. Come on, baby. We can go on a vacation Tuesday to Thursday. We'll
exactly.
have a great time.
Exactly what we're doing. Because it's cheaper. But she wants to go all out and take like a vacation out to like South America. And
we'll go out to dinner and go Dutch with somebody.
Of course she does. Bryce, she is with you. She's miserable. She's with you constantly in that apartment. She wants to get out. She wants to go for a week or two. She doesn't want to go for a two-day thing.
Well, I mean,
she's caged like an animal in there with you, with the video games, the no pants. Oh, must be disgusting.
No. He has pants, no underwear.
No underwear.
Oh. He wears the pants.
Jammies, no undies.
I wear the pants.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I'll be honest. As Brian's saying this, I am 35 years old. Thank you very much. I'm 35 years old, and I have never been on a vacation that my parents didn't take me on when I was a child.
Because you wouldn't think of wasting time and money on it,
right? Never,
ever
gone on a vacation, ever.
Nowhere?
Never.
As a kid? Nothing?
Never.
Not like Disneyland or nothing like
nope.
that?
Nope. Now, now's the time that we're starting to think Disneyland, because she's five now, so now's when we're starting to think about it.
He said since he was a child.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm talking about him taking his kid. You know what I mean? Not when he was a kid.
Yeah.
Totally.
Well, I have to, though, right?
Now we're starting
to look into it and trying to figure out what we're going to do, maybe, if not this year, next year.
But you're not going to be miserable like Brian is.
I'm a fantastic person. I'm like a human. I'm kind of like a saint. I'm like Saint Chairman of the Americas.
Yeah, he's going to love Disneyland. Like in the middle of July, shoulder to shoulder.
I'm not going to say that I'm loving it. If I'm making my kid happy and she's getting to hang out with Minnie Mouse, then it'll be great. That's fine. We'll do something.
And the $3,000 that you're going to pay for the two nights hotel room and the airfare.
I'm going to do the Tuesday to Thursday package. It'll be fine. It won't be too expensive. I'll work it out.
I'm trying to spread it out so that I don't have to throw away so much money into it and you know.
Spread it out Tuesday morning, Thursday night.
Well, we're actually now planning a sort of impromptu trip out to like this cabin or this house that we have out in Vermont, which is near a ski resort.
Which is near an axe murdering capital of the country. It's really nice. It's near where I put my first victim. It's right there.
It's a ski resort that in the summertime runs an alpine slide, which I am so psyched up for. Do you know what an alpine slide is? Have you ever heard of it? Have you had the alpine slide experience?
Is that like the fifth thing down on the Russian bathhouse menu, the alpine slide?
It's the little luge you go on. It's also like a herpes contractor. Like, that's such a gross thing.
I thought staph infection is what you get.
No, wait a second. You're probably confusing this with a water slide.
Nope.
No, it's like you said, like a luge.
It's just like a little thing, like it's a little wheelie cart that you go down, and because people get road rash all over it, disease festers on these tracks.
But you don't get road rash on it. You're in a plastic sled that has wheels.
If you drive it wrong, you don't break it at the right time.
And people fall off them fairly often. That's why most of the alpine slides in existence have closed down, because kids would get ripped apart on it.
Right, but they haven't closed down. Like, there's...
Action Park doesn't have one anymore.
I don't even know where that is.
It's the best place on earth, Action Park. I've never been there, but I think
it's
fantastic.
Is Action Park a ski resort?
No!
Then it's not an alpine slide. It's this other weird thing that you're thinking of.
What do you mean?
Like, an alpine slide is on the side of a ski mountain. It's like you get on a chairlift and you go up to
the side
of the
mountain. Oh, that's not the same thing that I'm thinking
of. And you go skiing in a concrete or fake concrete.
Chris is thinking the same thing. It's like the luge on the four wheels that you
talking,
go down the hill.
But he's
talking
about something with where snow is involved.
No snow is involved.
Because it's on a ski mountain
in
the summer where there's no snow. It's what the skis do to give themselves money.
Okay, so then, yes, I am talking about the exact same thing that you're talking about. It's not at a ski resort. It was on a big hill.
Magic Mountain had an alpine slide.
Magic Mountain, Action Park, the greatest place on earth that I've never been to. I'm trying to think what else there was.
That's right. They did call it
Dorney Park and Wild Water Kingdom had an alpine slide.
See, these all strike me. What you're describing, I don't think I've been to any of those places, but they strike me as amusement parks that have things like roller coasters and bumper cars and crazy grow-up rides.
But they're more action-y, hence the name Action Park, the greatest place you've been to.
It does look like you could slide right out of it.
Of course it is. It's a little wheelie cart that you could fall and smash and die.
Me and my brother used to go down there full speed, I can't even believe I survived, you know, because some of those turns, you just get winged off.
They're so awesome. I can't wait. We went there a couple summers ago. Go ahead.
Steve the LARPer says it in the Pal Talk room. Action Park definitely had an alpine slide called the Alpine Slide. Thank you.
Well, I mean, I guess I'm used to the sort of, like, Vermont or ski resort stuff, because you go on, like, their ski resort chairlift, and it brings you all the way up there, and it's a long-ass ride all the way down. And it was really fun as a kid. A couple summers ago, we went up to the Vermont place, and I was able to squeeze in, like, two or three rides down this alpine slide on the way home from, like, shopping or something stupid that you had to do on freaking vacation. And it was awesome.
As an adult, really?
Yeah.
A 40-year-old man on an alpine slide, really?
It was crazy. That's crazy.
You can do it.
It's an adult thing. The sleds are made for adults. Like, kids can go on it, but they go ridiculously slow, and they screw up the experience for everyone. It's kind of like an adult experience. I don't know. Maybe that's just me, but I am so psyched and looking forward to this. And it's sort of making it okay for me to go out and waste time, energy, and money on a quote vacation. And now I got to drive all the way up there and drive back afterwards. It's just vacations suck. Vacations suck.
You're an old man.
Really? You enjoy a vacation?
You know what it
like
is?
Like once a year you look forward to your vacation, Fred?
I think he does.
I do. I look forward to going away somewhere that's different, that's maybe a little bit relaxing. I mean, of course, the spending money part is a little bit, you know... nerve-wracking, but money's money. You know, you get more. You know what I mean?
Somebody else does.
But I think vacations are great. Not a lot. Not a lot. but
once a year.
Once a year, definitely.
It's like a chore, a tedious chore that I know is coming around. Like summertime approaches, oh Christ, I'm gonna have to do a vacation.
Well, it's especially now. It's because you're getting too much of a good thing. You're getting what you want now. You're getting, you know, you're hanging around, you're playing video games, and you don't want to interrupt that.
Three different times on the way home tonight, when I complained about how I'm frustrated right now and I'm having some problems going on, you know, all over the place, Brian related to me by saying, "Yeah, I know what you're saying. I went to work today and couldn't play video games. I could relate." Like that's the only thing that matters to him. It's really amazing.
I'm not going to be able to play video games all weekend because I'm going to have to go on the Alpine slide. What a bitch.
Boo-hoo.
That's what I'm saying.
Boo-hoo.
Vacation sucks.
Keith, you're a vacation guy, right? You go down to the Jersey Shore every year.
I haven't in a couple of years, but I do. I enjoy it. I just, honestly, for me, a vacation.
Really? You didn't go last year?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I really don't think I went last
year. Sorry.
Maybe I did. I don't know. Who knows?
Sorry, I didn't mean to throw the stick in the spokes. My mistake. I could have swore you went last year. I thought you like missed a show because of it.
No, that was
me.
That was,
of course it was. I'm sorry.
That was every show leading up to last year. I don't think I went fine. I think last year I skipped. But
okay.
But I do. Yeah, honestly, like I don't know. I get interested. I can honestly go to just. I think I've said this before on this show. Like I can enjoy just going to like a different town. You know what I mean? Like just seeing somebody else's like stores and shops.
By the way, I just want to point out what Barb was saying. That's not the Jersey Shore. It was, as Weasel from Daisy of Love calls it, the coast of New Jersey. Sorry, you go enjoy the coast of New Jersey. But you know what? As you do say that, I take it back. I have been on one vacation. It was probably about 8 years ago when Keith and my girlfriend, now wife, and I went to Wayne, New Jersey. And we spent a day in Wayne, New Jersey.
It's a good vacation.
That.
Yeah, spent the day? Like you drove there
we
in
drove
the morning
there.
You drove back at night?
No, we drove there at night. We found a nice hotel room. Ah. It was terrific. We couldn't find the fountains. We were looking for them all over the place, but it was great. We went to the Target.
We looked for them all over the place, like on the highway. We got off to get to the Howard Johnson, the Target, and the next shopping center over, and then the highway back.
I didn't
know how to roll.
There was no fountain in that Target. There was not one in there when I was looking.
A water fountain?
There was, well, the fountains, for the record, are not in room 326 of the Wayne Howard Johnson.
Excuse me, you're gonna make it like we didn't do anything nice. We did stop at Fuddruckers.
We did, and you did break the bed because Chris, for some reason, decided when we got to we asked for a room with
okay.
two beds.
You say for some reason. You say for some reason. If you're in a hotel room. Isn't the first thing that you're supposed to do when you go in there start reenacting some of your favorite wrestling matches from when you were a child? Isn't that what you're supposed to do?
As the bed is the ring, yes.
Obviously. And you were supposed to... I'm sorry.
And for the record, it was the opening match on the card. It was the first fall. That the bed just... The wheels buckled under and it just smashed against
the floor. Yeah, because I somehow thought it was a good idea to get on the, I guess, dresser, armoire across the room and just leap off to try and drop an elbow on somebody as soon as the day started.
And the next day, right, I thought if we made the bed and like kind of just left the sheets untucked and hanging low all the way to the ground, they wouldn't notice that their bed was broken, send like a bill or something.
Did you pay for it?
Did you pay for it cash?
No, we put the bed back together. I put it back together. Absolutely. I put the
you
bed back
together. Put it back together? Wait
had,
a second.
You had welding equipment?
It back together.
Yeah, it was just a bed. It was just like a little cheap bed frame, and I just it fell apart, and I screwed it back
How gross
together.
Is that having to like open, like underneath that bed and the box spring?
Well, as Keith was saying, there were bags. There were all sorts of delicious bags that formerly held all different products that we were found that were discovered underneath that bed. It was great. It was exciting.
There was no Bible, for the record, either.
I didn't remember that.
We went looking through the drawers to see if there was a Bible in the room, and there wasn't.
It was really nice. It was really nice.
I don't know what it is about motel rooms and like dudes being in a motel room, but every night and the Monty Love when we would go on tour.
Allow me to you got to start off by saying that guys on tour is different than just guys in a hotel.
It's true, but even guys in a hotel. Well, every night
it's not vacation from with the your Monty, girlfriend is the, what he say
on the Monty Love tour. Every night the hotel room was trashed. I mean, trashed. Not
real
like,
life rock and rollers. They go out. They would wreck hotel rooms. That's what they did.
Like just have like $100 worth of groceries, like all on the floor, open bags of like nuts and chips. And
you guys are nuts.
And holes and in chips. Walls. But come on, you get three drunk, four drunk dudes like on prom or something like that in a hotel room, and they're just messing
second.
It up.
What you just expressed as your outrageous hotel experience was open bags of peanuts and chips spread all over the
bro,
floor.
Bro, we got. I'm telling you, we had a bag of barbecue open, and we said, F it. We opened up a sour cream and onion, too.
Whoa.
We left them both there.
Ripped out the pages of those Bible, of that Bible that they keep in
there. Did you read that nut story in Keith Moon's biography? Yeah, and you're just using it as your own now.
Then we drove a Rolls Royce into the pool. Right into the pool.
Sick.
But I don't know what it is about motel rooms that just need to be trashed. Every time.
Nothing about them needs to be trashed.
I don't know what it is. Every time I go in, I just say, I need to trash this place.
I will say that I would like to leave things behind in hotel rooms. I try and leave messages for the people that would have the...
poop.
That would have the luck. No. I wouldn't do anything awful like that. But I would leave things behind for the ladies.
Ironically.
Or gents that would be cleaning up.
During that Monty Love tour, Jay Miller was leaving notes taped for you underneath hotel room chairs.
Man, I went to my therapist yesterday and forgot to look under the chair. My note might still be there from last week. I never even looked. Feel awful about the whole thing. Yeah, I'm saying, but you never leave, like I said, I would leave like treats behind and do things behind, but I would never destroy anything. I was never, I wasn't a real life rock and roller with chips and nuts. I've never gone that way.
That's literally that was the extent that, as you described, as your horrifying.
We rip off all the toilet paper off the roll.
Keith, did we go to Fuddruckers or did we go to Chips and Nuts? I don't remember which place we went to for lunch.
No, we got some chips and went nuts in the hotel room.
Oh, right. Oh, God, it was crazy. We were crazy. We left the TV on a channel that had a movie that people wouldn't like on when they got there. It was like, TNT, screw them.
You brought beer at a store instead of from the little mini bar?
Yeah.
You just gave it away. There was no way that hotel had TNT. It was Channel 9. And it didn't come in.
What is a Fuddruckers?
It's like a burger joint.
Is it like a TGI Fridays?
It's almost a little more cafeteria-style burger joint.
Picture the tables a little dirtier, food a little greasier.
It's the Holiday Inn.
Clientele a little lower class.
And what's a Cracker Barrel?
A Cracker Barrel is
like a brand of cheese.
It's like a cheese and cracker place all over the country. And it's actually, they sell like knickknacks too, right?
It's a chain where you can buy dried beef goods.
But it's not like a restaurant.
And crackers and cheese. I think some of them have a fancy little like cafeteria style thing where you can go up and eat Cracker Barrel products while you're there. But for the most part, it's a place where you go buy a basket of meats and cheeses for someone.
I thought you could eat cheese. Anytime that anything happens and I think about cheese, I just think about cheese, and I like it.
It's funny about this whole thing about Brian talking about not wanting to go on vacation, and you said especially more now that you're not working, because I've been just thinking every day that I am honestly – I've been having this thing like – I was wondering like – and I'll go around and ask people. And aside from answering this question, you know, I'm a billionaire and I live on a cloud of...
I own a mansion and own yacht.
What would be like your dream life within reason? Because honestly, I'm starting to think right now that...
This is your dream life.
I'm right getting now. Really close to thinking that not having to get up and go to work and having some sort of an income and being able to just like hang out with my girlfriend and like... Man, I'll give you an example. Tonight, I was eating dinner. My girlfriend and her daughter, and we're watching the Disney Channel, eating dinner, and I was just thinking, I got to get ready to go to the show soon, don't have to go to work tomorrow, and I looked around, and I was like, you know what, man, this is a pretty good life.
Oh, awesome. Aside from the lack of money or any future, this life is fantastic.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking this, and obviously, like as far as like people being involved, that would always be the same, but just the fact that, like, it's like, this is, I don't really need much more than this. Like,
so
I think
it's
I'm
all
pretty
down.
Much here.
It's all downhill from there, then. It's all down here from here, Keith.
Well, I have a Saturday, I have to go take a test for a civil service job, which is probably...
Boo, that's a stinky life.
Twitter. right up the alley of, like, what I would like to do, like court-related work. Which
I thought what you wanted to do was hang out.
I keep thinking, man, I hope it's really true that those lists take a really long time for them to call you and get your score together, because I don't want to interfere right now with my little thing I got going here. Aside from the fact that I'm applying for jobs every day, you know.
Your perfect life.
Well, I understand that. I definitely – there's a large part of me that enjoys and looks – doesn't want the whole like gravy train to end of me being able to do the things that I want, which is essentially nothing at home. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like when I'm up against the prospect of actually generating cash, like now I've been working all week. It's great. I finally, you know, have like some income I'm able to generate, and I don't have to worry, stress out for a little while. But the fact that I actually have to wait, it's only been like 3 or 4 days now, and the fact that I've had to wake up every morning, go to work, and I come back and I can't do anything because I'm tired and I have to go to sleep. it's just really crimping my style, man. I want to be at home doing nothing. I want I got video games to play, and I got like posts that are just begging me to respond to on the Heroes Talk chat forum. There's this
RadioBronzeFans.com where everyone should join, register, and be a part. Oh, okay.
I've had more time to work on the show, and it's for some reason it's like it's really like I don't know if I'm using it as an excuse, but like I did, I've been just thinking like I love the fact that like I don't have to think, all right, this needs to be done like, you know, after I get home from work tonight, but before this, it's just kind of like most of the time I can do that, and it's kind of wide open.
So your dream, Keith, would be to not work and to get a paycheck.
My dream would be.
Yeah, but yeah, that's wow.
Everyone's dream.
You know
that's
who I think?
Pretty amazing.
You know who I think?
That's not
so
true.
More so than a movie star, more so than like any sort of musician with
things. You'd like to be a stay-at-home person.
Yeah.
I think out of all those like glamorous positions, a successful author is probably the most glamorous position to me, because that person can just sit in their house, do what they like to do, and they don't really have to leave the house.
Author, you said?
Yeah.
I've had that pipe dream for a while, and if you've actually ever sat down and tried to put words on a paper, it's the most torturous,
of course,
painful,
it is.
The ice
humiliating
shirt too,
experience.
By Brian. And then the shirt got colder. It is I, Eric the Red.
The level of stress that you have, like at a dumb job that you throw away and you forget that when 5:05 rolls around, you go home and have your life. If you are subjected to, like, making art on your own time or something, that's just got to be a horrifyingly stressful experience all day, every day. You're not working, therefore you're a failure.
I've tried every sort of writer's block thing, and it's just horrible. I just sit there like, yeah, I can't do this. And then, like, God forbid, I put, like, 3 sentences down, I just read it, and it's like, wow, that's the corniest, dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Imagine your paycheck is demanding that. Like, imagine now you have to write or you're not going to eat. That's just going to be horrifying.
Let me get to work here. 4 score and 7 year. Damn it. Damn it. I know I've heard this before.
What would be your dream gig, Chris?
Well, it would start on Sunday mornings with a copy of the New York Times. Okay. So I would sit and enjoy it.
Which, by the way, I tried that dream recently and I had to cancel it because in Staten Island, the Friday, Saturday, Sunday Times means like, yeah, we'll bring it to you once in a while. Once in a while, we'll throw that paper on your lawn. I got it out of a total of 12 papers I was supposed to get. I got 2.
Really?
So they refunded my money with no explanation, and they were just like, would you like to keep it going? So they must know. They must have seen like a red flag next to Staten Island or something. And it's like, oh, yeah, that, don't bother.
You think maybe neighbor. People are stealing
maybe
it?
Maybe neighbor stole it or something.
Nah, I don't think so. I think they're just – there's not a lot of New York Times delivery here, so, you know. It's probably a truck. I don't even think it's a person. I don't think there's a New York Times newsboy anywhere around.
Hey, wait a minute. Sheepy just said in the Paltok room they must have been shocked that someone from Staten Island could read. It's messed up. It's messed up.
So I canceled it. So, but anyway, sorry. Go back to your dream life, Chris.
No, I don't know. Yeah, obviously I think the dream life would be to just, I don't know, hang out and do radio and screw around like that. I think that would be the dream thing.
Man, that's a lot of work. Like we're just talking hanging out and doing radio. But
yeah.
But imagine? You know what? I'm okay
if I had nothing else to do for the other 20 hours of the day, I would have at least 2 topics a show to go through.
Are you thinking you would burn through, you know, the topics within a matter of 3 days, or not, and forget about topics, just the tedium or the repetitiveness of having to do this and having to do it well enough to be able to maintain that job? That's got to be a very stressful position.
Well, the way I look at it as far as an author is when you start to get cabin fever, you just leave. You just go on vacation somewhere. You go fly somewhere and go be somewhere else, you know?
Go on vacation
so
still?
I guess that's...
Jesus.
You're on vacation from writer's block.
You know what? I come to think of it, I think if I could do something perfect, I would ride the Alpine slide 7 days a week. That would be my favorite thing.
I would love to work on the Alpine slide.
This is my job, and I think you guys might be in on it with me. Rating porn clips on the internet all day. Just rating them.
You know,
get that from a movie.
Not for nothing. Being a reviewer of anything would be good. I would love to be a food guy, to eat food and tell people that food tastes good.
See,
I can go to all the local Cracker Barrels and let people know how fantastic it is, which, by the way, has been pointed out time and time again that it is not a meat and cheese place at all. It's just like it's a restaurant, and it's actually just like
I
think they're suggesting the difference between a Cracker Barrel in the South and a Cracker Barrel in New York.
Barrels in Jersey that I think are restaurants.
I love
Cracker Barrels.
I'm pretty sure that they're restaurants every place.
But Fred, would you want to compromise your Fred time? Would you want to mix business with pleasure? Isn't that why you're not a whore now?
You know what? I probably might mix business and pleasure if I did start that job, yeah. But then, you know, it's a two-in-one deal.
Well, you know, P.S., on top of that, it's not just telling someone that this food is good or bad. It's writing a four-page article or a daily column about
and Fred,
how good or
hold
bad
on.
Is.
Let me taste this food here. Mm. The Ice Shirt 3 by Chris.
You could start
47 meals ago. Damn it.
Fred,
it's from someplace
that job of yours?
Yes.
What happens if it's in an office with other people around you? I mean, you just said the dream job, but usually not at home. You know, you would have to be – what happens if you're
that
in an office?
That would be the best office ever, whacking your bag next to arm in arm with someone else. You can cross arms sometimes, maybe take each other over. Just so you can help out. It would be great.
Okay, hey, Rob, can you take me over here? I'm multitasking.
I'm cramping up. Grab this.
Oh, man, a midget just came in. Jeez.
Awesome. Our buddy Walter Sobchak is suggesting that my perfect job would be to be a sports prognosticator, obviously, because everything that I pick always comes to fruition. By the way, next year, Miami Dolphins, 17-0. Write it down. It's happening. Watch it happen.
Speaking of, every single year since 2005, I've predicted at the beginning of the season when I used to do my baseball predictions that Zach Duke of the Pittsburgh Pirates would win the Cy Young Award, and he has a losing record every year. He's 6-4 this year.
So you didn't say it?
Well on the way.
Oh, you wrote it down, though. Write it down. You've got it covered. That's it. It's done. Done deal.
So he finishes 6-22.
It's the Slage Lock of the Week since we're doing callbacks all night tonight.
So sports writer. How about that for a dream job?
Oh, yeah. Well, anything related to writing is fine. Sports writer. Dream even doing a radio show out of my house. I don't want to have to go to a studio 5 days a week. I mean, I'll take that. But,
is there, a real art to sort of sports reporting, though? Is
an art? There's not an art.
Obviously not.
There's not an art to sports daily reporting. There's an art to writing about it in books. There's guys that make it, sound like there's a guy named Roger Angel that writes books about baseball. And he, I think if you read a couple of them, you'd probably say, I want to catch a baseball game.
Nice.
He's that kind of writer. But, as far as the daily, it's pretty elementary, the writing in the papers.
Yeah, so you could do that. Like sitting around watching a baseball show and writing or baseball show.
Yeah, but
hey, how's your mom today?
The question I have is these dream jobs, are they because you need to have money or because you really like them? Because technically, because
you need to have money. If I didn't need to have money,
that's the difference. Like a dream job to me would be
lottery winner.
No, like owning people.
What?
No, what I mean by I'm not sure. No, I'm not sure what they would do, but I would want to.
Four score and 7 years ago, Rob's forefathers had an idea.
No, you're getting me all wrong, guys. No, what I want to do is I'd have jobs. I have jobs, and I would create. I'm too busy to get things done in general. So by owning people, you could have them do it for you.
Oh, I think I know what that's called. Vice president.
Nice. Good position.
Rob wants to own his own landscaping business. That's what he's trying to tell
us. I don't understand what business you're going for.
Dude, if I just paid you, I said you're mine. And I don't know what you're going to do tomorrow, but here's a paycheck.
So you want your dream job to be that you have tons of personal assistants, essentially?
Not assistants.
I want to own them.
I'm going to make you make me money. I don't know what it is tomorrow. It'll maybe different.
What corner will he be working on?
Yeah, this is a crazy thing. This is crazy. I don't understand the concept of owning people. So then would I live with you?
No, not necessarily.
I would live out on the plantation around back, or like, but
you know, you'd live home with your wife. It's just the
so
whole
then
thing
you don't
here.
Own me.
Well, technically, if I pay you and you have to show up, it's, you know,
that's called employee.
Somebody does that to you today, and they don't own you.
No,
they
at any given time, though.
Oh, right, that's right.
There's going to be a real human
contractor.
If you go to one of your new employees and say, "You're mine. I own you."
Yeah,
it's going to be a real HR problem.
Well, that's why this would never work in this society.
There might be some violations.
It's a dream. It's a dream. Everybody has a dream. He wants to be
a Massa.
Yes.
He wants to be a Massa. Congratulations.
He wants to run a plantation. That's what he said.
Irka Dirk is pointing out in the Pal Talk room that that Rob Giggs, Edie Amin, same thing.
Exactly.
Steve LaRopper wants to know if he can telecommute to this job, because he's in as long as he could telecommute.
How about this, guys, for a dream job? Action movie star.
For who? For Rob?
No. Just for a dream job. Action.
I would be
movie
far
star.
From a dream job for me. It would be a much better than an office job or something. But
just doing
a movie
cool
stars.
Stunts.
I'm starting to think movie stars kind of have to work a lot.
But yeah. Strictly action.
Well,
you know, it's more about doing stunts than saying
lines.
Okay,
now are you talking a Jackie Chan action hero? Or are you talking like a Jonathan Stedham or whatever it is?
It can run the gamut from like
what.
A,
who the hell are you talking about?
The guy.
Who is Jonathan Stedham?
The guy in
The Transporter.
Yeah.
Okay. Jason Statham.
It's exactly what happened on the clip show that I was playing Monday. His name being butchered and everyone saying, what? Who?
Okay. Sorry, guys.
I'm thinking more of like an Arnold Schwarzenegger type of like.
Who?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Arnold who?
Oh, man, I got
Arnold
be
Schwarzenegger.
9/13. I got to write that down.
Oh my god!
I'm thinking more of like an Arnold Schwarzenegger.
You
type
want
of guy.
To be? You want to be the governor of California?
No, I'm taking that as an action movie star, like his career almost to be like an action.
What's
movie
his name?
Star. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Okay, very good. Congratulations. Third time's a charm. You got it the third time. Congratulations. You don't
does
need to censor
make a difference.
The third time. No, I can't imagine that action movie star is something that appeals to me very much.
Really?
Don't get me wrong, I'd do it rather than what I'm doing today, mm-hmm. but it would be like maybe 7 or 8 on the dream list.
Really?
Can
see,
I be a non-action movie star or an inactive
tiring.
Movie
yeah.
star?
Yeah, lazy.
See, I think that's tiring. More work.
Like
though.
Dom DeLuise, you want to be?
I don't know. I don't know if I'd like to be an actor. Because there is also still that sort of stressful, like there is an art to it, and you got to be good at it. And if you're not, there's a large part of acting, I bet you, is all politicking. It's being able to like make friends and
sure.
influence people and all that stuff. Ugh.
But when you're talking about your dream job, you know you're already there, so you don't have to deal with that stuff. You know,
of not having a job, just you got to fight through the vacation. Do what you can to get through your life. And do
okay,
what you
so
can.
To sum up, I'm going to be a writer.
Right.
Fred, you're really going to review porn from your house?
I would do it, yes.
Okay.
I would do it. Like, now we're twisting your arm to do your dream. All right, I guess I'd do it.
In this one, naked girls have sex.
Hot. This one gets 6 Fred times. The Fred time scale. For this one, Fred time was 28 minutes.
Half past J&O.
Oh, nice.
This movie was really good.
Could you,
then I lost interest.
Then I finished.
Later.
Then I finished. So it was done.
The storyline to Taboo 17 was outrageous. The sexual scenes were a little bit forced.
Are you really going to really do some reviews?
I'll do some reviews. I'll do some porn reviews.
Okay, excellent.
I'll give them 6 out of 10 from a Fred
just,
time scale.
But just on a Fred
10.
Time scale. No, not a 1 to 10. Think of the Fred time scale as amount of time and how much time you would spend watching. On a Fred time scale, it would be 6 months for a perfect movie. For like The Chameleon starring Tori, whatever that girl's name was.
Love that. Tori Wells?
Tori
that.
Wells. Ah, good stuff.
Love
good
that
stuff.
Movie.
Ah, memories. Memories.
You're a food critic, Chris. You're going
to... I would think, a food critic... Well... assuming that we're not going to go for the easy radio thing, yeah, I guess food critic or
radio.
Or
food
critic
or radio
or,
god.
I said radio talking is so much fun. Yeah, I guess a food critic would be the way to go, though. Food critic, but not – I don't want to write.
I think I do want to write, but it's not like – it's not a relaxing sort of, I'll just sit around. I think I want to figure out what Keith is struggling with coming to terms with. I want to find – the job that will give me
wait, that's your dream life to figure out me?
Yes, I want to be Keith. That's my dream. I want to find the job that's going to give me enough money to pay the rent and survive and have a sort of mediocre existence where I can
bread route.
Do nothing. No, the bread route is busting my ass for 14 hours a day. I want 15 minutes a day, max.
You don't want to leave the house, first of all, right?
Oh, I'm assuming boy. Okay. Oh, boy.
You don't want to leave
There's
the house.
There's a dream right there.
So telecommuting is a prerequisite for any dream job for Brian. Video game reviewer out of your house.
Come on, man. That is definitely the way to go.
Or screw it. Video game tester. Video game player.
Video game designer.
No, then he has to work.
I think you have to, as a video game tester, as a QA guy, you got to be in the office for long hours doing stuff, too. Can't you just give me money to play video games?
Our buddy the Green Ninja said that his dream job was to drive to the bank and take money out of the ATM. That's his
no,
he has to
legally.
Drive to get the but obviously it's a job. It's not going to be a criminal.
Some sort of a radio project or something.
There you go. I don't want to own anybody. I just want to make that clear. Okay. I do not want to own a person.
That's because you don't like people. And you would treat them badly. I wouldn't treat them badly.
Because obviously when you own someone, you really must love them to own them in the first place.
Well, if you treat them well, you know, if you feed them every once in a while, and let them live in some other place.
As long as they do what they're supposed to, they right. hardly get hit with sticks. That's fine.
Isn't if you love somebody, you own them? Isn't that saying?
I guess one of the suggested jobs that was thrown out there was that I should do something with sports, either a sports announcer or a sports or sports prognosticator. I'm going to say that in sports prognosticating, I would have never in a billion years a week ago predicted that the day after I saw finally saw the movie Tyson. That the following day after it, that his daughter would get killed by riding.
The treadmill
in the house. Did you hear anything about
this? No, this is the first time I'm hearing about this.
Yeah, I was gonna talk about Same it last story. Week, but I don't know. Yeah, it's nuts because she's a little kid. I mean, she was like what, 2, 3, 4 years old, tiny little thing, and she somehow was playing on the on a treadmill.
She wasn't training.
I don't know if she was training. She, in all honesty, as you're making a joke, but
no,
it's,
I know.
In all honesty, she might have been because when you watch the Tyson movie, which by the way, phenomenal, crazy movie. Watching that movie Tyson, this documentary thing on him. Oh, someone's calling us apparently on the clearest of all lines here on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Who's this?
This is Steve Lark. What's going on?
Hey, sir. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Good, man.
Outstanding. Just touching base on the craziness of this whole Mike Tyson child dying thing here. I don't know if you have anything to add to that or something a little bit more cheery that you wanted to talk about.
Oh, well, I was going to get back to the dream job. I was going to say mine would probably be somewhere along the lines of medical marijuana researcher.
See, but
that's not even a real – come on. That's not a real job.
Well, yes, it is.
Yeah, it is, totally.
They do university studies. A lot of these people do it on grants. It's not like a job you get paid for, but it's grant money.
Nice one, Steve. Grant money. Hey, Steve, how about getting the job to name the buds? You know what I mean? Like, who's the guy that names them Purple Haze?
Yeah, but some dude that does it. Bro, this one is Maui Wowie Sickies. Dude.
Getting paid to do that, I guess, would be a great gig.
That is a great gig. I'm changing mine.
But yeah, you know who gets paid to do that? Drug dealers. The drug dealers. If you're selling anything, if you become a pot dealer and you could name whatever you want to name it, whatever you want. If you're selling,
really?
All of a sudden it's yeah. Oh, dude, you want to get some Skunky Monkey? I got some for you. No problem. You know,
that's a good one. Do you smoke a lot of pot, Steve?
A little more creative, Chris. Skunky
Me?
Monkey?
No, not anymore.
You don't smoke a lot of pot anymore, and this would be a dream job.
Well, you know, I'll always get back to it someday.
Nice.
He'll get around to it.
I'm biding my time. No, but I don't know about the Mike Tyson thing. I was expecting a crazy story out of that to begin with, and then I read it. I'm like, oh, this has nothing to do really with Mike Tyson.
Yeah, I mean the idea, the whole thing. I think that everyone just expected that right after you know the whole thing happened was that everyone thought he was going to go insane and start smashing the world and you know setting fire to things and you know eating people and doing whatever it is that he's doing. It's just I got to be honest. After watching the movie and watching the documentary, and if you haven't, I can't recommend enough that everyone go out and see it. You feel so bad for the dude in general, and then like I was already like on a sad feeling bad for Mike Tyson thing. That next day I was at work talking about it. Not an hour after I was talking about how bad I felt for Mike Tyson, I hear that his kid dies. It was just at that point she was in critical condition. It was just like, man, this poor son of a bitch is going to be awful.
Chris, do they go through the whole Robin Givens thing?
Of course.
In the documentary?
There's no they. The entire movie is just Tyson talking about his life. It's all autobiographical.
And they have no clips of like him fighting.
Of course they do. Of course they do. But it's all narrated by him. It's amazing.
That voice.
I know they did do one movie that had a guy that played him, and it's and it like went into his original manager and then Don King, and he's like, "Gaten is Satan."
Yeah, right. That was that, I was thinking that was like a wasn't that was almost like an HBO movie or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, I think it was. It was good. That was good though.
Yeah, I remember that being halfway decent. I remember it being halfway decent. There was the Don King one too that I enjoyed. I'm telling you, this autobiographical thing of just this dude sitting there talking about winning the heavyweight championship with syphilis, like, is the greatest thing
at
in
like
the entire 19. World.
I got syphilis.
Yeah, but and he's telling it, and that like him being
I can't even pronounce it.
Very good. It was amazing. It was a fantastic movie. And like I'm saying, we went to this whole thing the next day that I was at work, and I was talking about him, and everyone got into this whole thing of him being a savage and him being an animal. And then, like I said, hours after having this conversation, finding out that everything's going on, I was starting talking about him being a savage. I feel awful for the guy.
See, I didn't like the ear biting thing. I could handle that, but when he got the tattoo on the face, that's when I think he went crazy.
But what's,
that was the line.
That was the line, but Steve, definitely.
But what's wrong with that? It's something he feels like doing.
I think
who
it's
cares?
A little too crazy getting a tattoo on the face. That goes
no
like,
one's tattooing
oh,
your face.
No.
Don't talk to him.
Tyson.
I wouldn't talk to him anyway, definitely. I'd be too scared to talk to him.
I would love to be his best friend.
Really?
I would love to hang out with him.
I would be scared to be his best friend.
He would probably destroy you if he got mad, but
definitely.
That'd be fine. I would love it. I would love to hang out with Mike Tyson, just be friends, like hang out. But honestly, walk
down
the block.
You have to play Punch-Out with him, though.
Of course. It would be so a ring king,
that's
some sort of boxing game. Oh, it'd be so awesome. But you're going to tell me you wouldn't love to just be walking down the street with your boy Mike Tyson, hanging out with you, like, hey, what's up? Rob would definitely try and own him, I know, at some point. It'd be fantastic.
Hey, Rob, you can't own me, bro. You can't own me, bro.
Yeah, oh, my.
That Tyson boy works good.
Oh, man. Ouch. Yeah, I'm just saying, he was, am I alone? Am I insane in having and feeling like some sort of likability towards Mike Tyson?
Oh, no, I like Tyson. I've always liked him, despite the earbudding, despite everything, because I know, like, ever since he came up, that he the guy had mental problems. You had to, like, you know, see it in his eyes and his interviews, and he didn't know what he was talking about. I thought he was, like, drugged up back, you know, when I was a little kid. First heard about drugs and what they did to you there. And I saw all that in Mike Tyson.
Definitely. A couple of weeks ago, we were talking about Muhammad Ali and that biography that just came out. And I asked you guys a question. When I say the word champ, who comes to mind? And when I say the word champ, I grew up with Mike Tyson, and Mike Tyson definitely comes to mind. He's the champ, in my opinion, because I lived, you know, his whole story.
I agree that Tyson's fantastic. I agree that Tyson was the quintessential boxer for the majority of my formative years. The champ is always going to be Muhammad Ali.
Really?
Yeah. Has to be. Has to be.
I don't know, man. I see Tyson.
By the way, my favorite part about all this is, as we're discussing, hey, no matter what he did with the ear biting, no matter what with the tattoos, no mention of a rape anyplace in here. Like, the two things are that he bit someone's ear and got
wasn't
a tattoo.
Alleged.
It was alleged, Steve, exactly.
Exactly. But a tattoo somehow gets mentioned in this discussion. And the fact that he bit a guy who headbutted him 16 times in a fight, I'm just saying. I think he's a terrific fella. And I feel awful about the whole thing. And, thoughts and prayers.
What's that new movie that's coming out? And he's in it and he's singing.
The Bachelor Party
The Hangover?
Hangover, that's it.
That's it, Hangover.
What are you guys talking about?
He's in a new movie with that guy, Zach. I forgot the guy, I don't think it's funny.
Garifanafo, dude.
Zach Galifianakis, who is wildly funny.
I remember I liked the show. I remember I liked the show for the 10 minutes that it was on.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's in a movie with him, Mike. I think it's just like a cameo appearance, but
yeah.
But he's
yeah.
on the commercial for it.
And what song is he singing?
I saw the trailer. I genuinely got happy to see that he was in that movie and I wanted to see the movie.
He just said it was a cameo song that he was singing.
Which one is it? Word up.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember what song it is now. It's going to bother me.
I know that every time it's song
here coming in the air tonight.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
It's great.
I know.
My favorite part.
He really doesn't do that. That's phenomenal. That is phenomenal.
Yeah, go look up the trailer. I'll go.
You don't even have to. Yeah, you don't have to look up the trailer. I think every time you sign into MySpace or Facebook, it lets you know it plays or YouTube, whatever.
It's right at the end of the trailer that you see Tyson.
But could you imagine being the actors having to see him do that and not like wanting to laugh to make him look like an idiot? You know, you'd probably like, I would totally look at him dead faced, like, you know, that was genius, man. That was great.
Part of the joke is that, I mean, it's supposed to be that, but part of the joke is at the end of it, I think he just cold cocks Zach Galifianakis and knocks him out on the floor as well. Yeah. It's great.
He's like singing along with the song, and this guy gets to a part where he's doing the drums. And they do the drums, and he's like, and then he punches him right down.
We're not saying that's what happened to his daughter. That's not what we're suggesting.
Come on. You know what?
What we're saying is that it happened in the movie.
Thoughts and prayers. We're not going to say anything like that. Thoughts. It's a very sad thing.
Yeah, that is sad. No, that's what I was going to say. Like, I saw he was in this movie. I was feeling good about it. And then I heard this. I'm like, I hope he didn't do it. At least he had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. But
it is true that you hope that he didn't do it. That's true.
But how did she wind up getting strangled? Do you know, Chris? Like, was
she
it,
got wrapped up in the cord?
Like the safety
the,
cord that pulls out that keeps it that makes it stop? Because there is a safety cord on treadmills.
No, I think it was the outlet. I think it was the outlet cord that she got tangled in. From
really?
What I understand.
Oh yeah. My gosh. Horrific. And she was 4 years old, you said?
That takes a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to envision how that happens. You got to go out of your way to kill yourself in that manner.
Wow.
Like, that just seems hard. Congratulations. Killed, like, you know, yeah. Good for
I,
you.
I
you
almost
did
killed myself with a drill at my buddy's house. When I was renovating, the drill, it jammed up. I was boring a hole, and it jammed up, and it started twisting, and the wire was going wrapping around my wrist. And then the drill cut the wire and stopped the fuse and broke the circuit breaker and shut off, but it was wrapped like zip, 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 zip right around my wrist, and it kept on going, and then it, you know, it just zapped.
And it
snapped. But what have happened?
You would have
amputated or something.
Yeah, and I would have bled out.
Yeah, well, I mean, it would have been gross, but you wouldn't have died.
I would have bled out.
Why?
Why? The main artery.
No, your friend could tie it off. He'd go get like some sort of like a towel or something, you'd be fine.
If I was there, I would cauterize it for you.
Put your hand in the stove.
There you go.
You do something like that, of course.
Yeah, because that's what you're thinking. That's the first like knee-jerk reaction. Ow, my wrist hurts. Burn it.
No,
please.
It's not up to you sitting there doing it. Someone's going to say, okay, this guy's going to bleed to death if I don't do something. Yeah, of course you would try and
throw fire on him.
I would probably try and wrap it in a towel, to be honest.
Band-aid?
Do me a favor. Don't get your arm amputated in front of me, because I'm just going to ruin some sort of towels. Uh-huh. I'm going to ruin linens. And no one's going to live.
Nate freaking towels on this guy.
Yeah, because there are tons of people that don't have arms and the things that had cut off. You wouldn't have to die from it. Rob, damn it. I don't know why I'm mad.
I'm not buying you. That's it.
All right, well, I'm not a good person for that. You know, I actually work about a week and a half ago, I electrocuted myself one but good. It was very exciting.
I love that one but good.
Yeah, I had a 30-amp DC fuse. My arm laid across the positive and negative, and I got a jolt and got thrown back probably about 8-9 feet. It was very exciting.
Hey, let me ask you an electricity question.
Sure.
You have hurts. A radio.
Don't touch
ask
it.
You that. Damn it.
If you have a radio, right? It has a 6-volt DC 6-volt
Nobody
output.
Has a radio anymore.
Right? And I do. And you plug it in, and it gets really hot, the little box. The adapter that you plug in immediately, is that bad or is that normal? Is it standard? Like hot to the point where if you touch it, you're like, I think I have to go run my hand underwater. Right
I'm going
to
guess that's probably bad, but I am not an electrician. I remember I just electrocuted myself, not knowing what I was doing.
So when I accidentally threw it in the laundry basket and covered it up with clothes and then took it out and part of it was melted, that was even worse.
I thought it was great. It's better than leaving it plugged in and throwing it in the bathtub to cool it off, but only slightly.
I was going to say, yeah, dump some water on it. Like go into the refrigerator, take a pitcher and cool it off.
Okay.
That'll do it.
Awesome.
Working with electricity, does that even slow you down at this point? Like you have the kind of job now where you're working electricity. You must get shocked once a month or so.
I'm pretty conscientious about it. I've gotten some jolts every now and again, though.
When you're around it, do you work slow and careful for a little while?
No, I think I know what I'm doing until I get electrocuted. But it doesn't happen often. And I've probably gotten electrocuted 10 times in my life. Not a big deal. Granted, each time it's like 30 amps of DC power, which essentially could kill me if I did it wrong. But yeah, it's all right. It's exciting. I'm an electrician. I like to
have it. It's electrifying.
Yeah, boogie, woogie, woogie. Awesome. Mike Tyson, jobs, dream jobs, all this stuff. Steve the LARPer, thanks so much for calling or for Skyping in, buddy, and being part of the program.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Excellent, buddy.
Steve.
It's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk, the thing you do with your ears, and the place to be.
You're listening to Best in Show on HeroesTalk.com. The thing you do with your ears. And the
Rob,
to
I just
be.
Said that.
Play magic lasers.
Attention, farmers and ranchers. The calendar says summer, but now's the time to think about fall elections. From June 15th through August 3rd, you can nominate a candidate to serve on your local USDA Farm Service Agency County Committee. Nomination forms can be picked up and dropped off at your local FSA or USDA service center. Voting takes place this fall. So make a difference by nominating a candidate to serve on your FSA County Committee. FSA counts on you. Nominate and vote.
Yes, I love you.
Fred.
I was down when I first saw you. It was almost like you knew my name. It was all that I could do when I got next to you, my baby.
Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk, thing you do with your place to be. Oh, excited. What's going on here?
I thought we were watching monster porn now.
Oh, hanging out? Exciting. That's the Vagabond Souls that we're just listening to. They're going to be doing their record release party at the Bitter End on July 24th. 11 p.m. It's going to be very exciting. Hosted by RonFez.net and Corby Audio. And apparently our buddy Barb is going to be hosting the evening. So it's going to be
nice.
Very exciting.
Sexy.
Everyone come out. For those who don't know, the Vagabond Souls, that's our buddy Monocode Dom, who hanging out on Pal Talk. Good stuff. And, I don't know, be there.
I
hang
can't
out.
Believe Fred just turned into like a morning TV host.
Sexy.
Nice.
Sexy.
Girl, girl. Whoa.
What? Girl call? What? Oh, sorry. Awesome. Best in Show. How would people talk to us stuff? I don't know. 877-744-6405, Instant Messenger, all that stuff.
Do we want to throw out the the other plug that we're not sure of the date of.
What do you mean? Oh, the last Night in Brooklyn premiere thing. I can't remember when the hell that is. Is that what you're talking about?
That's what I was talking about, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember it off the top of my head, but it's going to be exciting. If someone could tell me, then we'll watch it.
Okay. You know what I was watching before? I was watching those you know those shows like Best Week Ever and Best – I don't know what it was. It was like these VH1 and E shows where they interview – They show, like, the top 50 cutest
internet
child
videos.
Stars. Oh, not that. That's even worse. Oh. But, like, they have all these comedians that you've never heard of, and then some you have heard of, trying to be funny. And it really is, if you sit through an hour of it, it really is one of the most cringeworthy things you will ever see in your life.
Yeah, but you get 20 minutes into it, you can't not watch it.
You can't change the channel, but you see these comedians making jokes. And the jokes they're making about, like, old sitcoms are just honestly, like, one of them said something about, I don't know, she made, a weight joke. She made something about, like, she was, the little kid from Jerry Maguire was, like, the number whatever cutest child star of all time.
A head weighs 7 pounds kid?
Exactly, and okay. That's the line. The head weighs 8 pounds, he says, and she says, and this show, this comedian, she says, every time I weigh myself, I remember my head weighs 8 pounds, and I take that out. And I have good days then. It's like, oh, weight comedy. It's the most horrendous thing you ever could hear in your life, these people. And, like, these are the people that they're hiring to do these shows.
But people are watching them. That's what people want to see. The people want the mindless, airy, fun, little, stupid, that's not really fun thing to, for them. So, God, more power to them.
I'm glad how Sparks has a job now, I mean, but don't get me wrong.
Oh,
but,
he's on those now?
Oh, that's...
That's just fluff, like the fluff TV, man. That's just like non-committal TV that you just put on your for background noise.
What you're not a religious It Came from the 80s Strikes Back watcher? You don't watch the have to make sure that that's TiVo and check every minute of it.
All those shows are cringeworthy.
And I'm not
the nuttiest games you played in the 80s this week on VH1.
And I used to love the I Love the 80s shows. Because some of the people they had were funny. There's a guy that he was on, like, The State or The Vacant Lot. One of them shows.
Michael
Ian Black. That guy's really funny.
He owns all those shows.
Does he really?
He 100% owns the franchise.
Doesn't he just own the people who work on the
shows? That's true. No, he owns those franchises on the show. On VH1, like, he owns, like, the I Love the 70s, 80s, 90s, the Games Strike Back, 80s Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, and all that stuff. He owns them all.
Wow.
What was he from? He was from The Vacant Lot.
He was one of the
State,
founding
right?
members
State?
Of The State.
Was that show funny?
It was great.
The State was
awesome.
And I remember when that show came on, I thought it was a Kids in the Hall ripoff, so I refused to watch it.
And the girl from the State was in a band called Cake Like that was... okay,
some
at best.
Yeah.
Okay, best, but I saw them open up for Fugazi, so that helps me.
I saw them open up for a spinoff of The Breeders.
I think they were called Cake Like. That was the spinoff of The Breeders.
And what do you think those comedians getting paid to do those shows? Like those no-name comedians that drop those bad one-liners?
$176,000 a year and 50 cents.
Dude, if that's it, I want the dream job. That's my dream job then.
That's how they afford to own each other.
No, I bet you – I mean, that's the other thing is that – how they must produce those things is they must take – imagine being the guy who has to film that because you've got to sit now for a half an hour and film this one comedian, talk wacky stuff about everything that you see, and then pick the best gems. And then do that for the 10 other comedians that are – ugh.
Exactly what I was complaining about earlier is the fact that they'll choose one at random to say like they were showing when they named Macaulay Culkin, they were all doing the, you know, the slapping the face, the Home Alone face slapping open mouth thing. And then, like, but they'll randomly take, like, say, one person, and he'll say, Home Alone. Home Alone was a movie where this kid's parents go on vacation, and they leave him home. And you know... That was hysterical. Is Brian drunk again? Oh, it's Fred. It's the... And you know that they had each and every one of those people do the same thing. So, Home Alone, what do you know about Home Alone? And then they chose who they were going to have describing
it. This guy was the best at describing Home Alone. He's the winner.
By the way, our buddy White S. Brent is suggesting in the Heroes Talk Room that VH1 went to crap once they got rid of Pop-Up Video and Rock and Roll Jeopardy.
I hated Pop-Up. Rock and Roll Jeopardy was great. I wanted to be on that
but
show
Pop-Up
so bad.
Video is the same thing.
I
it was just that it was in little word clouds as
little,
opposed to
like
person.
Lost now. Lost repeats if you want to see Pop-Up Video again.
That's true. That's very true.
And while I'm bitching about TV...
Wait, the guy from Rock and Roll Jeopardy is the guy who hosts Survivor, right?
Jeff Probst?
Was the guy who hosted Rock and Roll Jeopardy. That's how he started, before he was on Survivor. That's how it was.
Oh, my God. Those questions were so easy. I think if they gave Jeopardy money, I could have been a billionaire.
Wait a second.
Jeff, $10,000.
Is it Jeff Probst, or am I massacring someone else's
name? Well, I think that's what Jeff he Probst. Just said. Yeah.
He's the Survivor guy?
P-R-O-B-S-T.
The guy from Survivor definitely used to host Rock and Roll Jeopardy. I don't know what his name is.
Jeff Probst. If that's how you pronounce it, that's how you spell it. P-R-O-B-S-T is the host of Survivor. He's the host of Survivor.
The comedian who used to do the improv acting on like Whose Line Is It Anyway and all that.
Oh,
stuff.
Oh, I don't even know that. I just know that the host of Survivor. That's the host of Survivor's name.
I massacre. I'm being stupid with celebrities.
The guy that was in the Drew Carey show.
Greg
you're talking about?
Proops.
You're talking about a totally different.
I'm such a dimwit. I'm so bad at
it. Ryan Stiles is the new host of American Idol. That's what you're thinking of. Okay, so while I'm complaining about television now, can I see a horror movie? Can I see one new horror movie come out?
Yes, you're allowed. No problem.
Okay, thank you. Now I'm going to put that in my back pocket. But can I see a new horror movie come out and have it not star somebody that was in a WB 11 series in the last 5 years or something? Because it has honestly gotten to the point, I don't know if this is a generation gap, all these actors look the same to me. And it's just become like horror movies have become unwatchable to me, because if you go down the list, it all features all these actors that all look the same from these like Smallville and One Tree Hill shows. And it's annoying to the point of, I don't know if it was the same thing in the 80s with like people that were our age in the 80s when like, I don't know, Friday the 13th and those movies came out.
Yeah, but they were so good. Like, the horror movies
and they
has
were,
lost
they
something.
Were more, if anything, it was unknown actors from those movies. But now it's like they're trying to throw, like, stars in, like, oh, this guy was in Roswell, and then he was in I don't know. I can't think of any of the others. But
I think if you showed me 10 people from WB shows, I wouldn't have a clue. I wouldn't have a clue who any – outside of the
Alyssa
Rachel Bilson – and
Buffy, like Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
And
yes.
I even put her aside because she at least has established herself enough as an actress now.
Rachel Bilson and Misha Barton. Other than those three people, I wouldn't know anyone from those shows. Are.
I was looking at – the thing that started this is I
David
was
David Silver
at,
I would know. That's about it.
It said the new Footloose is being cast, and they've cast the person to replace Kevin Bacon in Footloose, and it's a guy named Chase Crawford. So I clicked on Chase Crawford.
Another role I
didn't
get.
Chase Crawford just.
I just auditioned for that one.
He looks exactly like every other one of these people. And it's driven me to the point of insanity now. It's driven me to insanity. I'm just going to come out and say it.
Have you seen a recent horror movie that made you feel this way, Keith, about horror movies?
Yes, I watched. We were at some friends' houses. We were at a Voldemort's house, as a matter of fact, the other night. What movie would...
Has he achieved any of his dreams yet?
Yes, all of them.
Oh. Surprise, surprise. I'm wrong.
Look who is wrong. Look who is wrong.
And some of yours, actually. He has more trophies than you.
So what was it? What movie did you watch?
The Haunted... I don't know what's happening.
why is there a crazy, scary sound in the background?
That happens all the time in my head. I didn't realize everyone else was hearing
that.
The Haunting?
The Haunting of somebody. I don't know if my girlfriend's around in the chat.
The Haunting of Agnes DePesto.
the haunting of something Rose, right?
No, not the Haunting of Emily Rose. It was like the Haunting of Emily or something like that. And it's just, it's unwatchable, man. It's so unwatchable.
What is it about horror movies now that...
The formula is get some of these actors from these movies that can act and all look the same. Rip off this horrible, horrible genre of Japanese horror that for some reason everyone thinks is so great.
Get him in skimpy clothes.
You don't think The Ring was good?
I think The Ring was good.
Okay.
And that's it. I don't think The Ring should have
copied. That's not horrible. Kind of goodish.
I don't think a movie that's kind of goodish, which is probably the best I could say for it. And honestly, really, it wasn't even that good.
How about Saw 1?
But that wasn't Japanese.
Did you not like that? It's a horror movie.
I thought it was okay. I don't know why I continuously kept seeing all the Saws after that up until the most recent one.
Seesaw, I get it.
But is there less gore in horror movies now?
It depends. Some of them they're worse. Some of them they're worse, and that's what they just try to get by on. And the others, they just try to get by on that weird stop motion thing that the Japanese horror movies do with like It almost looks like a cartoon. Like the little girl in the ring that's like moving all fast and weird. It's horrible. It's gone downhill. Since our interview with the Butcher on the first season of season one of Best in Show.
Right. I remember that. That was a very exciting time.
And we complained
to
him about horror movies, the state of horror movies. They've gotten even worse since then.
I've never been a fan of horror movies. I got to be quite honest with you. I know they're like essentially the only thing that fascinates you for your entire life, Keith. I never understood why, with an exception. There's an exceptional handful, I guess, that I can maybe look at and somewhat enjoy. And even those aren't really kind of horror movies. Like, I don't think you actually refer to Rosemary's Baby as a horror movie, do you?
Oh, I
do,
yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you would consider that more of like a suspense thriller type thing?
I guess so. That doesn't strike me as like the regular sort of hack and slash corny teenage
girl
and a guy in a ski mask.
I think that's more of first. What horror movies are.
The Texas
you,
Chainsaw the Massacres and
right.
stuff like that.
Right.
See, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and even not even that, that movie Blood Feast from the 60s kind of changed that whole thing and made slasher movies horror movies.
That's like more gore or something as opposed to just horror, though.
I think different categories fall under it, but Rosemary's Baby is definitely. Satanic cults fit into a horror.
Yeah, I mean, it's.
I consider every one of them a cyberpunk thriller. That's all I consider.
Dolph Lundgren is in all of them.
Obviously.
I guess like Rosemary's Baby for me doesn't even kind of smack of the possibility of being a horror flick until the last 60 seconds of the movie. All the way up until the end, and then all of a sudden, oh yeah, oh by the way, this is about things that are horrific.
I guess without, I don't want to do a spoiler alert, but like I guess...
Forrest Gump, definitely horrific. Definitely destroyed me. I couldn't even be alive after it. I wanted to be dead.
At the end when he was decapitated?
Oh, no, that was hilarious. That was the best part of it.
Sometimes you watch a horror movie and you're thinking the whole time like this could end and not be a horror movie. This could end being like, or at least not this could end just being that this person is crazy or something and
like
then
the
it's
happening.
Just a
like a pointless movie.
The Mark
like
Wahlberg movie?
I was going to say with the Roger and Rerun and those guys.
I don't know why I keep torturing myself with watching M. Night Shyamalan movies.
I know me
every
too.
One
well, The
of
Village
them
was great
freaking I don't think that it was that good. Yeah, I with the good. Exception of the Bruce Willis one that he like
Sixth Sense people
Sixth Sense I thought was a great movie and it's like is the next one is worse than the last
Signs
one.
Signs was pretty bad. Signs was you know what it is? They're good and then the
Unbreakable
end,
was him?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Unbreakable
there's
was good.
Mr. Glass.
But that's not a horror movie.
No, it wasn't.
That was a comic book movie.
You know what his problem is those twists cuz sometimes the twists aren't good. In The Village I think it was great, but in other movies it's like sometimes they're just not they're not good.
Were you big like, Evil Dead guys? Did you guys listen to watch Evil
I
Dead?
I wasn't either. I thought Evil Dead 2 was funny when I was 15.
Yeah.
Steve LaRpa was actually talking about how it was. I was good in the room. I think it was Saint Matrix. So mm-hmm. I said that.
I like No, I'm not an Evil Dead fan, but I think I appreciate still the sort of comedic factor of what was the second one that
Evil
he
Dead
did?
Evil Dead 2?
The
Army of Darkness
yeah,
is
that's
the third
it.
One.
That's it. Okay, the Army of Darkness one I really kind of still enjoy. The rest of them, are just, I just can't watch them.
I never even saw it. Evil Dead. And
I guess that's horror.
Evil
movie.
Dead
yeah,
2
yeah.
was the one that... Because Evil Dead could almost was almost kind of passing as a real movie.
Right.
And then Evil Dead 2 was the one where he made
making
it like a real
himself.
Movie, but it's so obvious. I mean, he's running around fighting with his hand, just attacking him through the whole thing, which is pretty funny.
I think any horror movie that says based on, like, real events, I like to watch, like, the Amityville Horror, like, The House.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
It's scary as hell.
I don't like horror movies. I think they're dumb.
Watch some.
All right, I'll leave.
Watch Rosemary's Baby at least once.
Nope.
Not scary.
You watched Mulholland Drive, finally.
Yes, I did.
You like it?
I thought it was really good.
Like in the Texas
Chainsaw... I liked the cowboy.
The Texas Chainsaw Massacre was also based on true events, based on some serial killer.
You didn't like them. You're being a smart aleck.
No, Nightmare on Elm Street was a good movie, too. It was based on real events, right? That guy really was. He worked at that school. And
yes.
He touched those kids.
The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I think the character was based on Ed Gein.
It was.
Whatever his name is.
Ed Gaines that put a...
It wasn't Gaines.
It wasn't Gaines?
No.
G-A-N-S?
It's G-E-I-N. I don't know if it's pronounced, though. But it was based on him, and then...
Sadly, I know someone that actually has an Ed Gein tattoo.
Oh,
I really
no.
do. Yeah, you know him, too.
Really?
He's really not a good person.
Might as well get, like, Hitler tattooed on you.
I think he has one of those, too. I'm not even screwing around.
Any tongue kissing?
They're like friends.
Oh, my God.
Huh, these things happen.
Yeah, those that based on a real story thing is never very believable.
I'll watch a movie, any movie I'll watch if it says based on a true story.
Wow.
Any movie.
Can we just send Fred some AVIs and just like edit in based on a true story out of it? The Golden Compass. Based on a
true story. You know, I think what it comes right down to is when I was a child, I have memorable experiences about watching some horror movies that freaked me out. And for some reason, I guess maybe that made them somewhat real to me. And even when I look back at them now, it's kind of – there was a movie I saw embarrassingly. I'm going to age myself here, but there was two of them come to mind.
There was a movie I saw in the theater when it came out. What was that Chaplin flick called?
Yeah,
I don't remember it.
The Wolfen was one of them, which was like a 70s
like Albert
movies.
Finney.
Yeah, Albert Finney.
I still haven't seen this.
Scared the piss out of me when I was a kid. But it doesn't hold up now. Like, you watch it now, and it's corny. It's downright corny.
Any nostalgia?
They have particular visual effects in there that were jarring to me, and seeing it and remembering it now is kind of like, yeah, it was neat. But another one was, what was the one it took place in The Thing, I think. It was in Alaska.
The John Carpenter, yeah,
oh,
The Thing.
Oh, my God, that thing. It's particularly the one scene when his head drips off of him and, like, grows legs and scatters out on the floor like a spider. Oh, that creeps me out. Still, to this day, watching that is kind of freaking me out. But other than that, it's like they all seem really corny. And I suspect those are corny, but it's just I saw them when I was 12.
I have three. Well, you've seen Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah, kind of corny.
I would like you to, yeah.
Kind of corny. I mean, even if you are, if you do appreciate that, you, Keith, must recognize that the last 2 minutes are just over the top.
Oh, the last 2 minutes are ridiculous. The last 2 minutes are ridiculous.
Right, but that's supposed to be the, quote, scary
But the whole
part.
Movie, great, is so good. I think the whole movie is so good. I think John Cassavetes is so good in it.
Yeah.
And
would The Shining be considered a horror movie?
There you go.
Was, yeah.
That, as you were drawing that,
I'm painting it over here. Yeah, I gotta
there
be honest,
you go.
I
great.
Almost don't consider that a horror? I almost consider
thriller.
Like a suspense drama
almost,
thing.
Almost. That almost fits into the category I was saying earlier, commenting on what Brian was saying, is you could almost, it depends on how you look at it. That could, you know, like, is a movie still a horror movie if it all could have possibly happened in someone's head? And I'm not saying that that's what that is.
Yeah,
but
it doesn't, I mean, in that, there's some real significant, true, were to believe, gore. Like, he went and chopped people
yeah, but
up,
gore to me doesn't, a gore of a regular
yeah, that just
person.
Happens. I guess to me, horror equals supernatural. That's my problem.
Yeah, I was going to say, a gore that a dude can do to me isn't necessarily horror.
Which is why I always said movies like Hostel those slasher movies weren't really horror to me. It was always when there was some supernatural element to me that I made it, or just like some sort of monster that made it a horror movie. Those to me are just like gory crime movies, not the old 40s noir crime.
Well, all right, we talked about this movie a couple of weeks ago, Clockwork Orange. Horror movie or just
certainly not.
No,
not
a
horror
movie.
I wouldn't say so either, no.
It's horrific situations. It's
and
true
that's the
to
same
life,
as movies like, you know, like
horrific
that's the same.
And horror are not the same thing. And horrorific isn't even a word.
Horrific. Yeah, it is horrorific.
Okay. I wouldn't call horrific movies horror movies. I think they're something separate. I think they're a different thing.
So I don't think it just because it's supernatural makes it a horror movie for some reason. I don't think you have to transform into a wolf.
Supernatural,
for it to be a
supernatural, and horrific. Though, because it can't just be supernatural, because then you could be talking comic books. Like Star Wars is supernatural. Then, you know.
Yes, but if it has that horrific factor to it, then it becomes a horror movie.
Okay, I'm saying. Maybe.
As long as it's horrible, it's a horror movie.
And again, that's not true, because like I said, then Forrest Gump is a horror movie. Forrest Gump is a horror movie. Three Musketeers starring the Estevez brothers is a horror movie.
Made in Manhattan.
Exactly. Like anything that what's her name? Jennifer Lopez did is a horror movie. That's crazy talk.
Out of sight.
Okay, maybe not all of it.
Two movies that... There's Gump a movie a with Peter Fonda from the early 70s called Race with the Devil. Which I saw as a little kid scared the hell out of me. And to this day, I've probably watched it like 30 times at least. And so, I love that movie.
Okay, so supernatural, horrific, and something has to scare you?
But that's what I was going to say.
Peter
Fonda. Race with the Devil is basically
on
about
Golden
these Tons. People being chased. They witness this satanic cult sacrificing someone, so they're being chased all through Texas. Nothing supernatural happens. Race with the Devil, it's highly unlikely, but the whole Race with the Devil could have easily been taken like from like true fact. But it's still a horror
except
movie.
Except for the devil part? That's the only thing?
Well, the title, I guess, if you have an issue with the title.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I didn't see it. I don't know anything
but
about it.
But that one, and then there's another one. Another one. There's one called...
I wasn't listening.
He's looking right past me at the wall, thinking, wow, I wish I had a cabin.
It would be awesome.
And there's one, George Romero, one of his first movies called Season of the Witch. Part of this movie revolves around this guy, this woman at her daughter's house talking about philosophy to the boyfriend.
And ooh, like, scary.
That's the whole point. So much of it isn't really like horror.
Oh, I legitimately would be scared to watch that. That's terrifying. That's right up there with Forrest Gump.
I think you should watch that one, Brian. Right. I think you should watch Season of the Witch by George Romero.
You totally watched that because of the Donovan song, didn't you?
I watched it when I was the Donovan song is in the movie. I watched it when I was like 12, and I hated it. I said, this is the most boring thing I've ever seen. And then recently, my girlfriend and I got it on Netflix, and I watched it, and I was like, you know what? Now that I'm older, I could really appreciate it. This movie's really good. And it's not, again, it's not real. There's so little horror things in it.
So it's like suspense drama-y. That's what I'm saying. Like,
it's not even, this isn't even so much. This is almost just the conversations are funny to watch.
You know what? I just thought of one that... One that popped into my head.
So a horror movie to you now is just monologue.
Seinfeld is one of the best horror movies ever.
This radio show is a horror movie.
Well, that's very true.
It is horrible.
Horrific.
A good horror movie just popped into my head, one that I enjoyed, Jacob's Ladder.
Great movie.
Yeah. Still haven't seen that.
Yeah,
terrific like that movie. But to me, that borders on, it goes by Keith's thing of it could kind of be a real thing, and it's kind of like a suspensey, scary drama thing, almost.
Right, but again, you don't know, like, is it happening in his brain?
Spoiler alert, spoiler alert. Considering that you said that you didn't see it, right?
I was paying attention to something else.
Oh, good, good. Like me during the show.
It was Bruce Willis.
Yes.
Awesome.
Wait, oh, what's the famous movie where the girl turns into a demon and she spits the pea soup?
The Exorcist.
The Exorcist. How
which
about that?
Which I've never seen.
You've never seen it?
Never seen it.
Horror movie, Keith?
I saw The Exorcist for the first time about 5 years ago. And
based on true events.
It's scary. I could see why people think it's scary when they're younger to see it. But honestly, I think I never really enjoyed The Exorcist that much. I think
that's the corny thing that I was saying before. That's kind of a corny movie. That's the corny aesthetic that turns me off.
But I think they all
Steve LaRoper screaming sci-fi. That's sci-fi.
The Exorcist.
I don't know. I don't know if that's what
cyberpunk thriller.
Cyberpunk thriller of sorts.
The Omen. I've never seen.
It's a romantic comedy. Between
never saw The Omen.
I've never seen any of this stuff. A little girl.
All these things that you've seen, all these hard things you've seen, I've never seen. I don't know nothing about them.
Brian saying that about The Exorcist just reminded me of. Of when somebody recut that Shining trailer to make it like a romantic comedy with the Peter Gabriel song playing in the background.
Yeah, oh my God, that's so good. Rob, you should find that. You should definitely find that.
Or just play Salisbury Hill.
Yeah, just play Salisbury Hill. It's fine.
So write a good horror movie, Keith. Write a good one, get it made.
And then I don't have to leave my house.
Exactly.
It's about a guy that doesn't leave his house.
There's your writing gig. A guy who never leaves the house.
And then chases his family around.
In a world where a guy never leaves his house. There are those who would say that the non-house-leaving man.
Something. Like fantasy football, something along those lines.
Keith gets fired. Bang, 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 bang. Oh, my God. Unemployment. No. See, that's a movie. That's a movie.
What about the George Romero zombie movies? Have you seen any of them?
Like Of the Deads?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were. I saw them all.
Really?
I saw Day of the Dead, Dawn of the Dead, Night of the Living
What's
Dead.
What's the one in the shopping mall?
Dawn.
Mall of the Dead.
Dawn or Day?
I think it's Dawn of the Dead. I've only seen half of that. I love that.
You know what? When you talk about before, dream job.
Sale of the Dead.
Not a dream job, a dream
thing. Afternoon stroll of the Dead.
As a kid, I always wanted to be locked in a mall. I thought that would be
with
so
zombies?
Great. No, minus the zombies.
With zombie?
Yes, I wanted to go out and talk. Hey, I saw the show. That's what you're talking about. Hey, zombie. I would love the idea of being in a mall.
Want to go shopping?
Let's go to the mall?
I want to go shopping. The movie.
It sounds like the most horrific movie I've ever seen.
Adventures in Mauling.
Adventures in Mauling. That's a real horror movie. M-A-U-L-I-N-G?
Exactly.
That was a book that I think, what the hell was that guy's name? The guy who acted on talk radio actually wrote.
Eric Bogosian.
Eric Bogosian did Maul, about a shopping mall shooting.
In my movie, you wait for the scene that happens in Tape World. It's going to be insane.
Was I there yet, or did I stiff them already? I will say to this day, the The Dawn of the Dead, I saw it recently for the first time, half of it. Yeah. The scenes where they're biting people, the zombies eating people, still is kind of creepy. It's pretty gory.
You know what I remember about that movie that I thought was great? Someone getting their head pulled off and their voice getting high as you saw their vocal cords stretching and their head was getting popped off. I thought that was pretty awesome. And then his head popped off. I remember that.
How did that go again?
Would the faces of death be considered horror movies, or are those just like
those are snuff films?
That was the scariest thing as watching growing up, watching those faces of death.
I couldn't even care less. I got mad when they got to the animal parts and fast forwarded.
It's been suggested that so much of it is fake anyway that it might as well be just a stupid little horrible clip festival.
Okay.
It's, in fact, in the later ones, some of them just have clips from horror movies.
That's where you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
It's
stupid. What's a creep show? Creep show's considered horror, Brett.
Ooh, yeah. But
it's considered horror. I just don't like it.
I was going to say that I would think it was something horror that I liked. I like Creepshow.
Oh, yeah. That was just one movie, though. Like, it wasn't a series.
I thought there were two of them, but the second one wasn't very good.
The second one is actually, yeah, the second one. They're all just stories taken from those old comics, those old EC comics. But
Twilight Zone.
The one with the roaches, where the guy's eating the roaches.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just gross. That's
okay, I'm sorry. I didn't write it.
But I'm saying I don't think that's like.
But those horrible-ific.
I guess it is horrific.
I think a lot of those were suspense as well, because like, wasn't that the one where the guy was walking around the circumference of the building, and buried up to his head in sand, and there was all kinds of stuff that wasn't really horror.
I don't remember. But then by that, would the Twilight Zone be considered horror TV though?
I wouldn't. I guess
suspense is different.
They tried to do that. When they did Alfred Hitchcock Presents, they billed it as sort of like a Twilight Zone for horror people. But I don't know.
And then he had Night Gallery, too. That was definitely like a horror show.
I'm going to film a new movie. I'm going to do a horror zone for Twilight people, for people that like those vampire movies. It's going to be awesome.
What about that ball movie, Phantasm, with the balls with the knives they'd come out?
Balls?
I still haven't seen that
silver balls. Some guy would control these silver balls and knives would come out and they would kill people.
Is that the pinhead guy?
No, that's Hellraiser. That was Hellraiser. Phantasm was from like 1980 or something.
Yeah, someone was talking about Hellraiser. I'm sure it was Stephen LaRpe. He's the one who's going crazy about all these horror films we're going through. But yeah, Hellraiser, I never saw one Hellraiser.
You know what creeped me out totally? Motel Hell. Motel Hell.
I was convinced you said Motown. I know what creeped me out. Motown, man. I hated it. Smokey Robinson. Ugh.
Motel Hell was this movie where these people, like these farmers, like off this road, like set up this trap like for your tires to get blown out. And then like they would take you and like they would like cut you and like cut your vocal, remove your vocal cords.
You know what it sounded like?
No, it was worse. And they would like bury you, like they buried the people in the dirt and put bags over their head, and then they would like force feed them, and the people had no vocal cords, so when they took the bag off, they'd just be going like.
This sounds like Fear Factor. Fear Factor, the movie.
Fear Factor Plus, I think it's called. Yeah, it was creepy as hell.
Wait, so did you saw Hellraiser?
I saw the first Hellraiser, and I fell asleep during it, so I don't really remember much about it.
I mean, sometimes you're not out when movies. I mean, what? If you're not into them. Fred, did you ever see the Hellraiser?
I have. I don't remember it, though.
Brian, see Hellraiser?
No, I'm sure I did.
I saw Hellraiser 5,
Rob,
if that counts.
Rob, you ever see Hellraiser?
Yeah, I saw
it. Oh, wait, that's right. You dress up like that stupid thing. That's right. I forgot. All right. So what do you guys say? We all make a point to watch Hellraiser this week, and we'll talk about it next Thursday and make it be really pointed. This will be like the ice shirt, except like you don't have to read.
I'm with it.
I would like to watch Hellraiser this week, because the fact that Steve LaRpe is all excited about it, I want to do it.
I actually texted Keith with an idea just to pull back the curtain a little bit.
If you would like me to, because that's amazing that Chris just said that, I'm going to read the text message that Fred sent me. Earlier, no, this is him asking me to do something that I didn't do.
And this is probably about 3 or 4 days ago I came up with this idea, and I say, hey, let me just text Keith about it.
Hey, we should have a movie club, a Best in Show movie club.
Well, it's amazing that you're saying it, because it's actually being said by Barb in the Pal Talk room. Why don't we show it in the Hut room? Why don't we have an on-air screening, kind of like was done with City Dragon? Let's watch a movie club. Okay, I think it's great.
That way we know everybody actually watched it.
Yeah, I know, because I'm sure no one could walk away from it. Everyone has to keep their cams on and show that they're sitting in the room watching a screen.
No, I don't have a camera.
We'll do it like once every couple of weeks. We'll watch a movie and do a little talk about it on the air.
And great ones like Hellraiser.
Well, Steve LaRpe is suggesting we start with Hellraiser 2, which I think is silly.
And this is what Fred said. Someone from the show picks a movie. Everyone is given like a week or two to watch it. We could get listeners to pick the movie. I think the idea of people forcing us to watch something is dangerous and could be good.
I think it's great. I think it's great.
I like some movie starring Louis Gossett Jr. and Lou Diamond Phillips from 2004 or something.
Our first movie is Forrest Gump. Five times in a row.
I would love to start with Hellraiser 2. Because I would think, what happened in Hellraiser 1?
Exactly. All the unanswered questions from 1 that, that you're getting the answers to that you didn't know were being posed.
It's going to be amazing. Come on.
Okay, I'm with it. Although apparently it's not a series. They're all self-contained, according to Steve. So, yeah, all right, I'm with it. What do we got this week? We have Thursday.
Can we start with Raising Hell, the Run DMC movie. It was called Tougher Than Leather. Sorry. I got the wrong title.
What do you say? Maybe next Wednesday? Does next Wednesday work for everybody? We'll let everybody we can enjoy the DJ New Style show on Tuesday, and next Wednesday we'll watch Hellraiser 2.
I'm down.
We will do it. We want to do it.
Hellraiser 2. I love starting with podcasts.
Yeah,
why wouldn't we? Are we doing it in HearsTalk.com or are we going to do it in Pal Talk? Both. We took over all of it. Screw it. You're all screwed. That's
Z100, too.
That's it. Actually, yeah. Whatever the top 40 station in your town is, they're going to be playing Hellraiser
and Channel 7 as well.
Who gave us that suggestion? Walter?
Well, we'll give it to Walter, but Barb, actually.
Oh, Barb said it?
Barb said it. Steve the LARPer is in it as well, as all excited. Everyone's in it. This is what we're going for. It's Hellraiser 2.
Sweet.
It's Heroes Talk Movie Time starting next Wednesday. We're going to watch terrible, terrible horror movies.
I already have a headache.
And hopefully the audio and video sync up okay.
Yeah, if they don't, they don't.
But well, I'll miss any dialogue from that gem.
I'll overdub it. Hey, guys, I'm going to kill you. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe that'll be going on in the Heroes Talk Room.
So we're talking about horror movies. And
we're talking about them here on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk, the thing you do with your ears, the place to be, home of the DJ New Style Show every Tuesday night, 9 p.m., and home of Best in Show every Thursday, 8 p.m. Exciting stuff. If you want to call, you can, 877-744-645. Here. Hello. Hello. Welcome. Hello. So what were you saying, Fred? Something?
No, we're talking about horror movies and how horrific they are, making up our own words and stuff. And just this past weekend was the Scripps 2009 Spelling Bee.
What?
And every year they do
What's
a national
Scripps?
Spelling Bee. That's who sponsors it. I don't even know who that is. But Scripps is the it's
like
the
like cursive writing, like Scripps.
It's
like
the it's the company that I guess sponsors the spelling bee every year for the National Spelling Bee. And some 13-year-old girl won Kavya. And here are some clips, my favorite clips from this year's National Spelling Bee.
Oh, abdominally.
Abdominally.
Perco service.
Nice.
Dauerlauf.
What?
I just love kids messing up on big words. And these kids are like 10, 11.
See, go back to the beginning again. That guy who says abdominally.
Yeah, he totally slaughters it.
Please. Abdominally.
Oh, that's not even the word.
Abdominally.
That's not what he said.
Let's say it again.
It says abdominally.
Ready?
Abdominally.
Abdominally.
Yeah, that's okay. He couldn't have been talking about abdominally.
Well, that is now my favorite clip.
Abwardly.
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 He's the co-host with Ron on that show on XM, right?
Scripps is a media company that owns newspapers and TV stations and stuff like that. It's just,
oh, really? They're a conglomerate?
Sure.
Well, I figured, hey, National Spelling.
Please tell me there's a game show coming.
There's National Spelling Bee. We're going to have our own Best in Show Radio First Annual Spelling Bee.
Write the date down because we're going to do it again next year or we'll forget it if it's not written down.
And so here are my rules for the BISR. First National Spelling Bee is each of you get 3 words.
Okay.
The person who spells the most correct words wins the Best in Show Radio, First Annual Spelling Bee.
Okay, first things first. Are we going to have chances to steal from each other or no? Because
no chances to steal because okay. I will give you the correct answer.
But I just want to know when I'm looking, if I could look at a screen, if it's not my turn. That's all I'm concerned
And this
with.
Is real life. You could give me the origin of the word. You could give me what it is. Can you use it in a sentence? You can ask me if it's a noun or an adjective. You can ask me all these questions if, you know, you're having trouble figuring out how to spell the word. So is everyone ready for the Best in Show Radio First Annual Spelling B?
Maybe.
I'm ready for it, and I will say no, Steve LaRpa. I don't think that this is designed for callers to call it, because I think people could just do web searches if that were the case.
True. And as I'm asking you the question, I do not want you to look at your radio screen, main radio screen.
Yeah, close it when it's your turn. When it's your turn. You don't have to do
that. No looking at the radio.
Well, Keith is going to be first.
Oh, Keith, close your computer. Why do you always got to cheat all the time?
Keith.
K-E-I-T-H.
Correct! Ding, ding for no.
How awesome would be that if you screwed that up?
Your word is Rosemary's Baby.
Keith, your first word is...
Could you whisper more? Like, maybe more like,
can you use Rosemary's Baby in a sentence?
That movie is called Rosemary's Baby.
Keith, your first...
Come on, we're softer.
The password is...
Keith, your first word is... Esophagi.
If you ever go to the supermarket,
if you need to ask any questions, origin, sentence, if you need the definition, I have it. Esophagi.
Oh, so many people are spelling it in the chat room.
Can you use it in a sentence?
Can I use it in a sentence?
I have the sentence.
Oh, I have a better sentence.
Brian's esophagi both have cancer.
I was starving and went to the supermarket, so I got a bag full of esophagi.
I just used the word esophagi.
Esophagi? I didn't even know.
Oh, all right, I got it. Esophagi. Can I talk loud? Mm-hmm. Esophagi. E-S-O-P-H... A-G-A-I-I?
Incorrect. You spelled esophagaga.
Well, that's that song. It's
like Hawaii.
The real spelling is E-S-O-P-H-A-G-I. Esophagi.
Oh,
what did I say?
You add an extra A-I.
I spelled it like Hawaii.
Esophagi.
Just so you understand, almost everyone in the chat room was doing the same thing. Was spelled it very similar with extra I's.
Extra I's?
I would have said it was two I's, not a single one. And secondly, I would have said that word doesn't really exist.
It does exist.
The
look
plural
it
of esophagus, yes, is esophagi, yes, with only one I.
Yes. Brian, your next word. Keith, look it up.
Shut
for Brian.
Your computer,
look it up.
Brian.
Bri, your first word is...
Walk away.
...is fratricidal.
By the way, you have to spell the laughter at the end of it, too.
If you need it in the definition...
Yes, yes, I think I'm going to have to... Can you use it in a sentence first?
Please. I will. Brian has fratricidal thoughts that he sometimes acts upon.
Wow.
Acts upon, A-X-E, right? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not sure. I have a lot of thoughts. Can you give me the definition?
The killing of one's brother or sister.
Isn't that sistercidal?
I really do have that.
Can you spell it for me.
You can't ruin my joke! Can you give me its orientation? Tell me where it's from.
The origin.
Yes,
it's from
the origin.
It's from Latin, meaning fratricidum.
Okay. All right, I think I got it.
Fratricidum. I don't even know him. Right. Second time around, guys.
Fratricidal.
Fratricidal. F R A T. R-I-C-I-D-A-L.
Correct.
Of course.
Yay!
Could you spell the word nerd?
I honestly think my word is one that would have been in a real spelling bee. I'm going to complain.
I still don't think it exists.
Chris, your first word is recalcitrant.
Recalcitrant. Recalcitrant. Could you give me the episiotomy of that word?
The definition?
No, the episiotomy.
What it's from?
Oh, whatever.
The definition is marked by stubborn resistance to and defiance of authority or guidance.
Why did I get this? Jerk.
Random. Random, just like us.
Okay, give it to me again. Say it one more time.
Recalcitrant.
Recalcitrant. Could you use it in a sentence? A sentence!
Chris is recalcitrant.
Oh, cool. All right. Recalcitrant. R-E...
Hardly even know.
See, this is tampering with the witness. That's recalcitrant. R-E-C-A-L-C-I-T-R-A-N-T.
Correct.
Yeah, face!
Whoa, nice. Now it's 1-1, Brian and Chris, Keith. With the big goose egg.
Did you say A-N-T or
If A-N-T? I don't have a word like theirs that I could sound A-N-T. Out and spell, I'm going to be very angry.
Asafa guy.
Okay, Keith, your second word is in French.
Oh, sorry. By the way, I just want you to know that everyone is saying in the chat room that I spelt it wrong.
You spelt it right. Thanks. It's A-N-T-E.
It is A-N-T-E.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
A-N-T-E?
A-N-T. Oh, no, A-N-T. I'm sorry, A-N-T.
I think everyone is suggesting that it's E-N-T.
I go with them.
Keith, your second word is alopecic.
Oh, that's so sad. Can I use it in a sentence? Keith is alopecic.
Alopecic, you don't even know him?
Shilopecic, if I'm lucky.
Alopecic.
Okay, can you use it in a sentence?
Keith's head has alopecic properties.
Oh, that's so sad.
I own some. Look at that.
And you put two hotels on in the park place.
Two motel hells. Okay. By the way, you're not allowed in either one. I want the beds intact. Okay. Alopecic. A-L-O-P-E-C-I-C.
Correct.
Oh,
wow.
Single L. Single
yes.
L.
Nice. Very good, Keith.
Oh, this is
very
the greatest
good.
Game ever.
Brian.
I never looked up alopecia when I was younger.
It's a three-way tie. Brian, your second word is chiraptophobia. Yeah. Chiraptophobia.
Chiraptophobia. I didn't even know Bia.
Please give me... Please use it in a sentence.
His chiraptophobia keeps me from hugging my friend Brian.
That wasn't even an English sentence. I love that we're trusting the burnout for all the knowledge here. All
right, give me the definition. I'm sorry, I gotta have to know.
Fear of being touched.
Oof, all right. Chiraptophobia. I think it's... L-M-V-S.
1950?
A phobia.
Come on. Shock, shock.
Okay. K-Y-R-A-P-T-O-P-H-O-B-I-A.
Not correct.
Oh, you and Barb are not correct. She spelled it the exact same.
It is C-H-I-R-A-P-T-O-P-H-O-B-I-A.
Steve the LARPer hit it on the head. That nice. Dictionary.com must be working magic for him.
Should have seen it. Like.
All right, Chris, your second word.
Okay, my second word.
is undinism.
Undinism? Undinism. Undinism. Could you use it in a sentence, please? Actually, give me the definition first. The episiotomy first.
Medical term for taking pleasure in urinating on someone or being urinated on.
Oh, my God. This is so unfair that I don't know how to spell this. Could you use it in a sentence?
Chris is proud of his undinism.
I wish you would have given him the sentence before the definition.
Undinism. It's urine. Undinism.
From the Latin, under, meaning wave.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Undinism. I'm going to get it wrong. U-N. That's it. No, U-N. D-A.
I thought he fell asleep for a second
there. N-I-S-M.
Incorrect. UNDINISM. Undinism.
Went that far. You went that far off.
All right.
Wow, still a three-way tie. Keith, your last word is triskaphobia.
Can you use it in a sentence?
Keith's triskaphobia makes him the craziest person I've ever met.
Oh, wow.
So it's not triskaidekaphobia, it's triskaphobia.
Wow. The deck is what makes it crazier.
You might have this.
Triskaphobia. T-R-I-S-K-O-P-H-O-B-I-A?
Incorrect. T-R-I-S-K. A-P-H-O-B-I-A. Triskaphobia, the fear of threes or multiples of.
There you go. Excited.
Still a three-way tie, Brian.
And Keith is running scared.
Break it.
You
break
are up
you can win it right now, Brian. Do it.
That's not true. You still got a chance.
I'm not going to go again.
Brian, you're...
I hate looking dumb.
Your third word.
What is the fear of four not breathing?
Brian, your third word is tonsillolithes.
Huh? Tonsil what is?
Tonsillolithes.
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to ask you to pronounce it once again.
Tonsillolithes.
Olives?
Yes.
Please use that in a sentence.
Brian's tonsillolithes are super gross.
Could you please pronounce it again for me?
Tonsillolithes.
I'll use it in a sentence. Brian has to spell tonsillolithes.
All right, give me the definition one last time.
Definition?
Yes.
Tiny, foul-smelling, yellowish stones that are found in the pockets of your tonsils.
Yeah.
That's a real thing. It's a real thing.
That's what he has.
I know, but I thought it was some crazy thing that he made up for not brushing his teeth.
All right, give it to me once. Pronounce it one last time.
Tonsillolithes.
Okay. I don't know how to spell tonsil.
Wait, you have a pen this whole time? That's so unfair.
This is the first time I used it. I can't spell tonsil.
You don't have to. You have to spell tonsillolithes.
Okay. T-O-N-S-E-L-O-L-Y-T-H-S.
Incorrect. Okay. T-O-N-S-I-L-L-O-L-I-T-H-S.
Wow, two L's.
Two L's.
Wow, that's
three.
That was too hard of a word.
That's a big one. Now, Chris, it's the make or break.
I could win it all right now.
I win it all.
You don't have a tiebreaker when we don't get this, do you?
I do have a tiebreaker, and the tiebreaker is...
M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I.
I think I just choked on my tonsillolithes.
Do we... is there some sort of a prize?
The prize is... being the first annual Best in Show Radio, first annual Spelling Bee champion.
I was going to offer up that I would take Chris's burden of the three of the medley off his hands if he wins.
Oh, I wasn't burdened with that. I forgot. I don't even bother thinking about it anymore.
But then there was no return of what he would have to do.
Oh, I'll still be burdened with this. I'll bear that cross. Well, just do that anyway.
You have to go to the Renaissance Fair.
I'll do another one of Brian's songs that he didn't do.
All right.
Wait, are you leading?
No, it's tie.
Everybody has one right now.
This is your chance to break it.
All right, I can win right here.
Chris, your third and last word is ziphisternum.
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 Ziphisternum. Ziphisternum. Would you use it in a sentence, please?
Old people and Chris are worried about their ziphisternum.
Could you pronounce it one more time?
Ziphisternum.
Ziphisternum?
Ziphisternum. Ziphisternum. Ziphisternum.
Good God.
I'm not going to ask you for the definition because I'm going to assume it's my pigeon chest. I'm going to say Z-Y-F-I-S-T-E-R-N-U-M.
Incorrect.
It is
X-I-P-H-I-S-T-E-R-N-U-M.
There's no such word that begins with an X other than X-ray and xylophone. I'm sorry.
I could have sworn he was saying Z-Thi-Sternum over and over.
All right, everyone, get a piece of paper and pen in your hand, because it is the tiebreaker of the Best in Show Radio First Annual Spelling Bee.
The lightning round?
So this is what's going to happen.
Oh, the lightning round. That was cute. It's because he was like a play on words.
Lightning is the word, ironically.
Can you close your...
Oh, sorry.
I'm going to give you the last...
I'm so angry.
I'm going to give you the last word that was really... on the spelling bee this year. And the person that could spell it...
the most right?
The most right wins. The person with the least amount of errors in this word wins. And this was the last word given to Kavya, the 13-year-old girl.
What if the three of us
won?
Get it all right?
You win. You personally win if we all get it.
I'll sign up for that right now.
The word is Laodicean. Laodicean.
Can you use it in a sentence?
No.
I can. Billy Dee Williams played Laodicean. Lando Caldicean Laodicean.
I can actually do it for real. Laodicean was the final word in this year's Scripps Spelling Bee.
Oh.
Nice. You should have done this, Kate.
I assume you couldn't give it in a sentence because you don't know the definition?
I do. Indifferent or lukewarm in politics or religion.
So you're telling me you knew the definition, but you couldn't put it in
I
a
I just
sentence.
Wanted to say no, right. Just to be an a-hole.
Brian right. Spelt Laodicean wrong. That's using it in a sentence.
I see Keith writing about like five versions of Laodicean.
Yeah, I know,
can I
know.
Submit them all?
No, submit one, and I'm going to have to check. I'm going to have to go through and see who is the...
By the way, could I have gotten this? Could I have won by not writing anything on the paper, because I would have had no errors then, technically gotten it right?
I think you get to score right letters, so you could have just wrote the alphabet.
What if you can't read my writing, which is entirely possible?
Possible. Could you text it to him? Email it to him.
Wow.
Send him the link to dictionary.com to find it.
Wow.
All right. I have one thus far. Let's see. Brian. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, boy.
I can't even believe this. I can't even believe we've gotten to the point that we do spelling contests. This is what our show is at this point. Don't get me wrong. I'm enjoying the hell out of myself. This may be totally uncompelling to listen to.
I have a champion. I have a champion. The votes are in. The votes are in.
Did the champion spell the word correctly?
The champion did not spell the word correctly. The champion has one letter that he spelt incorrectly.
Oh.
Laodicean is really spelt L-A-O-D-I-C-E-A-N.
Holy crap, it's me. I just won the goddamn spelling contest.
No, you did not.
Damn it, I did. Then I got only one wrong.
The person who won the spelling contest was Keith. The first annual spelling bee champion.
I
want to
see how I spelt it. I want to see how I spelt it.
What did you give? Which one did you give?
I think he's wrong. I think he's going by your paper.
Oh, maybe I am. I think I am.
That's mine right there that you're looking
that's
at.
That's me.
Because I know I had like S's and T's in there.
Thank you very much. This is under protest.
It was a misjudging. It was a misjudging. Chris is the Spelling Bee Champion. Best in Show Radio.
Yeah.
First annual Spelling Bee Champ, Chris Schiavo.
Hey, don't say my last name because then people will know me. as something other than champion.
Dude, champ, you are like Mike Tyson to me now.
Awesome. Porky for life, damn straight. So, Keith, get on that that medley for me, all right?
Wow.
Awesome.
Just switched it up right there. Did you see how he did that?
Nice, terrific. Man.
About 3 months I'll have that for you.
I thought you were going to say that the one letter I got wrong was the one that I changed from an S to a C.
No, you added the Laodicean.
Let's forget that we ever did spell it for 20 minutes. It's great.
You were the best, man. Congratulations, Chris. Next year, let's hope you come out on top.
I will. Awesome. Well, it's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com here on Heroes Talk. Thing you do with your ears, a place to be. We just had a little bit of a spelling bee, had a little bit of excitement.
Oh, wait. Before we stop the spelling bee, before we stop this whole thing, I just want to pull back the curtain. Because I asked Brian, like a week ago, I asked him about this game, right? And I said, Brian, you know, give me words that you would think about that I can ask you guys that have to do with you guys, have to deal with your personalities and things like that. So Brian came up with some words for you and Keith that I could have used.
See, this is better. This is so much better than the spelling bee.
He gave it to me 5 minutes. Like, I had 5 minutes to give these words.
So it's like, Brian, come up with some adjectives for the guys, you know, Chris and Keith, you know, that it explains their personality and everything. And here are some of Keith's words that Brian came up with. I am, and in quotes, instant message.
I guess because he's always IMing on the show.
Obviously, what you should do is you should rattle off the words and not let us know who he said them about, and then we pick out who he said them for.
Okay.
A new game show, and then we'll spell it.
Who do you think Brian said was obnoxious?
Oh, obviously me.
<You're> correct. Who do you think he said toupee? The word toupee. Who is that about?
Oh, that's mean-spirited, because it could go, I mean, I know he meant it for Keith, but that's mean.
How about a little too close to you.
How about this? One of Brian's words for you guys. How about androgynous?
Obviously, Keith.
How about choleric?
I don't know what choleric is, but if it's good,
that's
I'm
when
not.
You have guess, dude.
How about antagonist?
I would assume... I can see it going either way, but I'm sure he meant it for me.
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah, that could really go either way, definitely.
How about fascist?
So basically, he wrote 20 words about me.
And no, he said Keith was the fascist.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. How about this?
You're
license.
Republican.
What?
License.
Keith.
Quarrelsome.
He means me, but he's wrong.
Wait, what was the one before quarrelsome?
What was that? License.
It's the thing that you need license, to drive. Yeah. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. So that couldn't be me. That'd be Chris.
I got news for you. I would never remember how to spell license.
L-Y-S-E-N-S.
Yeah. I always get the C's and the S's confused in license. I'm not even screwing around.
How about distended? Distended.
In the past, I would have said me, but I'm going to say he said it for Keith.
No, he said it for you.
Come on! His stomach is more distended at this point. I'm skinny now!
Now, Brian also put P-P. I don't know. Capital P, capital P. But I don't know what does that mean, P-P, Brian?
It's P-P.
P-P, like he's talking about me and my feelings for you.
How about OCD? Just the letters OCD.
Obviously, Keith.
Yeah, but isn't it funny? Because you have to spell OCD.
Corpulence.
I don't know what truculent means, but if it's good, I'm that.
Silence.
Keith, obviously.
He said it about you.
Silence?
Silence.
Because I thought it would be funny if you didn't even know how to spell silence.
How about sedentary?
Sedentary could apply to either.
It's Keith. So those are just some of the words that Brian came
isn't
up with.
Isn't it a type of rock? Sedimentary and sedentary.
I'm a nice guy.
So those are some of the words that Brian came up for you guys. I thought they were pretty interesting.
I'm a nice guy.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, no, there's nothing to interrupt. That was exciting. That was, to me, was more exciting than what I was saying. I don't even remember what I was saying. Something, right?
Silence.
What were you saying?
Oh, spelling bee. One of the words in the spelling bee was my Zithromax that I have on my chest. What's it called?
Ziphisternum.
Zynomorphis.
And it's like this, Ziphisternum is like a...
Pigeon chest.
Yeah, basically like a...
Wait, before you start rambling out that word pigeon chest, like, haha, it's just... Tell everybody where you first heard about that.
Maybe you don't understand the whole point of why I'm saying it. That's why I brought it up. Yeah. The pigeon chest thing, or zithromycin, as erythromycin, as you're saying.
Ziphisternum is the
cartilaginous with the word right in front of you.
Cartilaginous process teacher. At the lowermost part of the sternum.
Chris, teacher.
Right. Well, for those that don't know, it is true. For those that didn't know, about a week ago, I went on and on this very show about the fact that I believed that I had some sort of odd lump and peculiar thing in the center of my chest that I guess some might say tumor, some might say cyst, some might say lesion, some might say erythromycin, or whatever that word that Fred just said is, and the one person who would be right would be the one that is what Fred said there. I apparently, this lump that I thought I had on my chest that I went to the doctor for last night turns out to be nothing more than a lump of cartilage at the base of my sternum that gets displaced in older and fat people. And
is it like I said last week, because you lost weight, that it?
That's exactly
where did you? But initially where it came from, that...
Yes.
Was the Hear Us Talk forum.
Okay. If you want to continue it for me, you got it.
Okay. I thought you were going to start from and then get to last night. You know, but anyway.
He's saying it was first pointed out.
I was going to say it's first pointed out. I thought you weren't going to point
it out. No, I was absolutely going to point out that Veal Chop was the person who was making fun of me 100% on the forum. As I said last week, I was on the show. I went to the doctor last night to find out what I thought this lump was. on my chest. Before I actually got to my doctor's appointment, I was pretty publicly abused by our buddy Veal Chop from the Awful Hour on the Heroes Talk forum, which you can get to by going to RadioBronzeFans.com and see the fact that he pointed out that this is a fairly common thing for fat dudes, that you get so fat.
Wait, you said fat or...
Fat, well, elderly
old?
is
elderly too?
I think that, well, that's what Fred was just saying when he was reading the definition of it.
Yes.
Is that when you're so fat that you've pushed the cartilage at the base of your sternum out so far that when you lose the weight, it's all out of shape and out of whack. I'd never heard of it before. I was freaking out about it. Like I said, until Veal Chop pointed it out on the forum last week. Although I think you were saying
you knew about it on the show. We talked about it before he called you out.
Yeah, but I didn't think that was real. I didn't think it was real.
Until, humoring you?
I didn't think it was real until I saw the word pigeon chest on there. And that's what did it to me. It made it seem kind of real. And that's all it was. I'm healthy.
What fascinated me about this is that it's up until during the show, I was under the impression that it just always existed like that. And it just happened that now in your late life, you're starting to lose weight and therefore it's being exposed on you. Because a lot of these like results of the pigeon-chested people are people who were just clearly born that way. But it sounds like this developed as a result of your tremendous amount of weight gain.
And that's everything that I read about pigeon-chestedness has to do with the fact that it's people who gain a lot of weight. And the gaining of the weight is what displaces the cartilage.
Because
you've got a big fat lump underneath you.
I had understood that most people, it just so happened that they were born that way. And it was in losing weight exposed their pigeon-chestedness. Like, they were always sort of pigeon-chested. They were just too fat to notice.
Hey, I based it on what I read on Wikipedia, and if it's on Wikipedia, that's the truth. I heard that fat, it gets displaced and gets dislodged and gets into a mess, and that's apparently what happens.
So it's not cancer. That's good.
No, I was like a little sissy freaking out over nothing, and I was all mad that Veal Chop was calling me out on the board and making fun of me for it, and he was 100% right.
Yeah, but so did you get anything else checked out while you were there? Was it just that, or you got a clean bill of health?
I got a full physical yesterday, and got quite a few things looked at and sorted out. As it turns out, my ginormous liver that I've had and have been dealing with for about 4 or 5 months now is no longer ginormous. I actually have a human-sized liver, so I can have a drink whenever
nice.
I want. But
how far did he have to stick his hand up to find out that
he it was not a pleasant experience. He stuck his hand under my zymorphia. And
whoa! Stop!
What do you mean?
How did this work?
I laid down on a table. He breathed. He said, "Breathe in." And as he breathed in, he stuck his hand.
He breathed heavy in your ear.
Yeah. He stuck
first
his
he took
hand
him out to dinner. Bought him a couple of cocktails. Nice loosened him up a little bit.
He stuck his hand underneath my ribs, essentially, and felt where my liver was.
I thought he really went up.
God.
My patoot?
Yeah.
No, you can't get there from there. That's your colon.
No, I thought he did like some sort of like colonoscopy, like some video thing.
Yeah,
something.
Or something over like what they would do, like sonogram or something.
He did not give me a full-on craziness. He felt it and said, it doesn't feel big at all. It doesn't feel fatty
at
all.
Was this your therapist again? Was this even a doctor?
It was Monty. It was Monty in the waiting room for the therapist.
So this is the same doctor you went to when the guy said your liver was big? This is the same guy that he saw it go down?
No,
this is
a different doctor. All this right. is a guy that works with him. That bases they work together.
Okay,
he has bigger hands.
Yes,
this guy.
Indeed, he actually does have very masculine hands.
Gentle.
But he felt it. He's like, yeah. He's like, don't get me wrong. I wouldn't suggest you go out and start drinking like crazy again because I'm sure the reason why it's small is because you've stopped the drinking
altogether.
And I said, yeah, okay, cool. And I have another drink, and I'm not going to have a drink.
Isn't that kind of like the only Chris mode of drinking? Like it's not there isn't like a light drinking possibility for
which is precisely why he told me last night I have not had a drink and I have no intentions of having a drink anytime soon.
So you're still going to be off.
The fact of the matter is I acknowledge now 4 months sober that I am a full on alcoholic and I cannot function as a social drinker. I either have to be wasted constantly or not. So I am not going to drink.
Wow.
I will continue to smoke reefer occasionally and drink a lot of coffee now. That's my new thing. I drink a lot of coffee. That's
really?
What I do. Yep. That's what I do.
And buy watches.
I'd like to buy watches. I still haven't figured out what watch I want. Oh, by the way, I drink a lot of coffee all the time. My blood pressure is through the roof.
Also, isn't that damaging to your liver?
Coffee? No.
Yeah.
It all goes back down to
liver. How's the merkin hunting been going?
Oh, my God. I totally forgot about merkin shopping.
Oh, you didn't merkin hunt?
I got merkin stocks that I bought. Oh my God, Kathy!
Really? Which Merkin company did you buy stock in?
No, Merkin stockings.
He's got. Oh my God, Steve the LARPer is saying that caffeine does cause cirrhosis.
I thought it was. It does exacerbate. Like, isn't the liver just a big filter? And any kind of bad thing that you ingest has to be filtered out.
I've been drinking coffee. I've been drinking coffee for like 3 weeks. I've been enjoying coffee for 3 weeks. Yeah. Don't tell me I have to stop this now, too.
Apparently, spinach very bad for the liver.
Where exactly is the liver?
It's right. It's between the chicken cutlets and the pork at the supermarket.
I was going to say in my fridge, right behind the.
Is it right below the ribs on the left side?
On the right hand side is where he was feeling.
The liver's on the right hand side.
Unless my doctor was drunk. Unless my doctor's liver's damaged.
Everyone agrees on this.
Don't you have two?
Two livers.
I thought you don't eat a liver.
Kidneys.
And then you have you can oh.
Kidneys.
Because right. I get weird when I drink alcohol.
You are, but you're going to own 10 people. You can get a liver from each one of them. Don't worry about it.
When I drink alcohol, I get weird twinges of pain on my lower left-hand side. I thought maybe that was the liver. I guess
yes. Not. Yes, Barb, he really did just say that.
That is probably in your brain. That's probably your brain.
No. I think that's in my head. That's up here. Yeah.
You get twinges. You get little twinges on the left side of your body, like in
like,
the lower?
Like below the... Yeah.
That's fat cramps.
Left rib.
I call them fat cramps.
I get like these like
and you ever
twinges
feel you,
of like almost like throbbing pain that like slowly happen.
I don't think you could feel liver hurt. I don't think you could, but maybe you do.
Why are you slurring out three style?
My liver doesn't work. My liver doesn't work anymore.
It's sending the alcohol back up to your brain.
It's the coffee. The coffee's killing me.
You ever feel like your side vibrating, like the, you have a cell phone going off, but nothing's vibrating?
I was just going to say, it's my phone.
No. I'll feel like
muscle twitching.
Fake, yeah, like muscle twitching.
I know what you're talking about.
And well, then I chalk it up to fat cramps. But yeah, I mean, seriously, my generation was, you know, the first cell phoney kind of stick it to your hip. Aha. Okay, I got popping my ears. Sorry about that.
Your generation was the first what?
It was really like cell phones. Mm-hmm. Coming out being popular where you have, you attach them to your hip. Oh. And who knows how, what that's doing, wearing a cell phone on the hip for, you know, 20 plus years. You know, it's just crazy.
I suppose. I mean, you know, the alternative is keeping it in your pocket, which I suppose is even worse. You know, like it's just,
well, what do you do? What do you carry?
My cell phone's in my pocket.
I mean, keep it in your pocket.
Yeah, and I don't have a ringer. Exactly. I don't have a ringer on, so it vibrates and on my leg. It has to, yeah.
Chris, you don't wear one of those belt.
I 100% do wear really? One of those belt. And do you want to see
those
it?
Belt holders? Oh boy!
Yeah. He also walks around town with a BlackBerry in his ear, blinking.
Bluetooth.
Yeah.
And no,
I'm sorry, Bluetooth.
No, I do not. I did it when I got out of the car and pointed out to Brian. Do you hate people that walk around like this and then took it off and put it in my pocket?
He regularly walks around town with a lanyard around his neck of some sort of like security.
I'm still wearing it right now. I definitely do.
Yeah.
What? I gotta let people know I'm official.
If he had a wallet chain, he'd strap it to his belt.
I got news for you. I was actually considering going to the hardware store and buying a chain for my keys so I could chain them to my belt. So I could feel like the super. Yeah. I want to feel like the super as I
walk around. And if he he would have his beeper clamped on his side if he didn't already have
it. Why wouldn't I? My pager. How am I gonna know when people will call me if it's not there?
And you can't just keep a knife in your pocket. You got to show that thing off. You got to belt that next.
You have to have a big scabbard at your side that you're tackling it out of. By the way, before it gets too far away, so just, you know, for you know, I just want to pour a little out and say a little something special for my liver. If Doc keeps caring about me, he'd call back in a minute. Then I know how I'm gonna die.
What's the name of that program?
Which one? Songsmith. Songsmith is
how
a
much
great
is that program?
It's like free for 60 hours, and then it's like $30.
Is it free like WinZip where you never pay for it ever?
No, it's free for 60 hours, and then really at hour 60 you have to start paying. You pay $30 for it, and you can enjoy it. You can write songs about your liver or about whatever the twinges in your side, the fat cramps as Rob likes to call them, and you can get that out.
But he's not really hurts, but it's not on that side.
He's not talking about like little twitches. Keith was actually suggesting he's getting sharp stabbing.
No, not sharp stabbing. They're just like they're annoying. They're like. They're like throbbing. But it's in the place where there's nothing. So I don't know. It's over. It's probably related to the same acid thing.
People suggest that if you're describing what I think you are, that might be muscle twitching as a result of you not drinking enough water.
I don't drink. I haven't drank like
water.
I don't think I've drank a sip of water in 6 months.
No,
that
really?
Might have something.
Really,
to do
you don't
with
drink
it.
Any water?
I never buy it, and so I never drink it. I have a thing with tap water.
They
I
have some in the water. They have it in your counts. Sink. You can get water right there.
I turn that into Crystalite, but I usually.
you're like the modern day savior. You've turned water into Crystalite.
The wave of his hand.
6 months without a cup of water, just
with the wave of a wooden spoon, he changes water into Crystalite.
Dude, you got it. I thought I was bad. Like they say, you're supposed to have something like eight 16-ounce glasses.
I was,
water
I was, I did.
It depends
I did
on your things. Weight. It depends I, on your weight. How much you're supposed to have?
It's 20.
When I did have bottles
of
water,
you should be drinking.
When I did have bottles of water, I was
55-gallon drum of water.
I was drinking water, but not nearly as enough. Like I go days without drinking water. Like I
it's
don't.
Not good.
Water's so delicious.
I don't know if it's delicious. Isn't it essentially tasteless?
Refreshing, kind though.
But aren't you getting water from other things you drink?
Water. Water. I do not get water from any place other than from water.
You don't get water from wine. Drinking wine does not turn into water.
A backwards Jesus? You don't get that?
The Jesus.
Yeah, a backwards Jesus.
A sausage?
Yeah.
All liquids have parts of water in it, but usually it's the things that are being mixed with it that will kind of
dehydrate
from,
you.
Yeah.
Like you drink coffee, all right, you're having some water, but that coffee's dehydrating you.
Alcohol,
so.
Your beer is 90,000% water, but
is
it's
that
gonna make you.
Is that mathematically correct?
I think that's true.
I start drinking water.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. You've gone 6 months without drinking water. You're like a camel.
But I've drank other things, so it's not like I haven't drank anything.
You store it up.
Sand. He drank sand.
And when I do, you know, like when Crystal I get, it's, you know what it is, honestly? It's I usually go shopping and carry stuff home. I ain't carrying those big packages of water, and
just
I don't like tap water.
Why? Why don't you like tap water?
I
it's
drink
New York
the tap
City.
Water
it's the
when
best tap water in the world.
When I put something in it, but just drinking, sometimes very occasionally I'll fill the tap water and leave it by the bed, because if I feel like I'm going to wake up dehydrated, especially if I was drinking alcohol that night, and I think I'm going to wake up dehydrated. But just like filling a nice glass of tap water, I don't like it. I have the Brita filter, but it's in the closet.
That's no good.
It is, but that makes it too charcoaly. You put a little too much charcoal.
Yeah.
In the oh, but that's great in the summertime.
Oh yeah, I love barbecued water. It's my favorite kind. It's my favorite kind of water.
Just get used to it. Drink tap water, and
tap
for one day you'll be fine.
Delightful. It's delightful. I drink a lot of water. I love it.
I couldn't see myself paying for water ever.
No.
Ever. I'm a guy that is totally against paying for water.
Yeah, but a Poland Spring is a really delicious water.
Really?
It's kind of it's crispy and clean.
It's water. There's no taste
well,
to it.
We had
I would love to have a water tasting competition.
You actually believe
thicker,
you're for real.
And some are thicker, some waters are thicker than others. It's like the
some waters thicker
true.
Than others. Some waters' mothers are thicker than other waters' mothers.
I have to yeah, I'm falling apart again. I'm totally falling apart
again.
Yeah, I have to go on one of those like one of those kicks where I stop doing, you know, I stop eating
Crystal
bad
Light.
Stuff and like my foot is breaking. Like my foot now is the bone spurs disappeared for
from
a
your
while
weight?
And now they're back big time and it's all related to and like now the bone spurs aren't only in my heel. Now the bone spurs are also they're like in the side of my foot, like it's just my whole right foot just aches to the point where I'm almost limping now.
Your ankles
right
can't
foot, see. Your left liver, you're a mess.
Equal opportunity, you know.
It's awesome.
I'm gonna get to Planet Fitness at some point, I swear.
You still seriously haven't gone.
Now they're actually billing me because the credit card that I used, I haven't had money in that account. I'm using a different account, so now they're actually billing me late fees.
Oh, no.
And my girlfriend tells me every day, you have to call them. Like, you have to call them and tell them that. Oh, yeah. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, no, I have to. And then, like,
you have to call them and tell them what? That you're canceling?
Switch. No, I can't
have,
do that. Switch
I have
the
to, but the phone is all the way over there. Wait, no, it's on your tummy. Oh, I can't. It's all the way over there.
My tummy hurts.
Tummy, by the way, is what I said.
And I keep
tummy.
Putting it off, and like, I have to switch it to a different card, so.
Oh my God!
It's exciting.
Let's see what happens. I'll go work out some more.
Okay, first thing tomorrow. You'll get to the first thing tomorrow. You know, the last thing that I went to my doctor. I told you I found out about my lump chest. I found out about my blood pressure. I found out about my liver. And the last thing that my wife requested, I talked to him and say, "Hey, before you do something crazy and start trying to become all healthy now that you've lost a substantial amount of weight and thinking that you could start exercising, talk to your doctor and make sure that he's okay with you actually exercising, that you're not like an obese monster, that you're just going to, you know, wind up dead on the side of the road of a heart attack from trying to exercise." And my doctor did give me my clean bill of health and tell me, "Hey, you're good to go, fatty. Exercise away. Lose as much weight as you'd like to do via the health way to go." What's up?
Wait a second. Did you happen to mention the traumatic
the goiter?
Issue? No. There was a moment, a snapshot in time a year or two ago. It lasted perhaps 15 or 20 minutes where I think you might have actually purchased a bicycle and went out and actually rode on it for a long amount of time. And when you came back, your knees had shattered. They're just no longer, like, you didn't exist. You weren't able to bend at the knee.
That isn't exactly what happened. I bought the bicycle because after trying running for a month and a half and my knees exploding, I just couldn't be a human that tried to live anymore. So I decided to move on.
Did you happen to mention your knee issues to this doctor?
Indeed, I did.
All right, okay.
Indeed, I did tell the doctor that I had knee issues in the past. And he says, hey, you've lost a lot of weight. I'm sure your knees are probably going to be fine. Try running one day and see what happens. So I have a clean bill of health. I'm going to start. I'm going to start running first thing tomorrow. I'm going to run over to Planet Fitness. No, I'll probably start next week. I want to take my last week off, and I'm going to start running. And I'm very excited about the whole thing.
Wait, you're taking a week off of work to run?
No, I'm taking a couple days off before I start my new health fitness regime of actually exercising because I'm so lazy. I really don't want to start running yet, but I'm going to be starting to run. The thing that I've been doing to this point that I've been gearing up for is the new video game that I've purchased. Is my new exercise, which is the EA Sports Active. EA Sports Active. It's a it's essentially the Wii Fit. It's the new Wii Fit, but it's a different game type of thing. It's like
like sports games because EA.
It's a personal trainer that sits in your house and you exercise and you exercise with the personal trainer. And it's honestly the gayest chick way to exercise in the world. It's only slightly more macho than the Wii Fit where I sit in my living room doing hula hoops as I go through it and enjoy things like that. So I've been enjoying my Wii Fit Active. I think it was the greatest thing in the world. It's the new hot. It's taken over the land. Everyone loves it. Until you actually do it for the first time and think you're going to go into cardiac arrest about 12 minutes into it.
Really?
It is the most labor-intensive, insane thing I've ever felt in my life. Sweat pouring off my face, dying from doing, like, running in your living room.
Running in place. I said this once before. I never believed you about that. And I played a 3-minute round of Wii boxing, and I was ready to die after it.
But you're moving your arms in the air,
yes.
Right?
That's correct.
Yeah, if you do that for 3 minutes, that's how you'll be breathing.
I've punched people for longer than 3 minutes.
No, you have not. No, a fight does not last for 3 minutes unless you're a boxer.
I'm exaggerating.
Yeah, like Rob, do you have a Wii Fit in this house, right?
No, I would need a Wii to have the Wii Fit.
Oh, I thought you had the Wii.
I'm gonna probably. Should I get a Wii at this stage in the game? Is it too late to get a Wii thing?
No, they still sell them. They're terrific. They're terrific, and they're still out there for you. And it's great. I'm telling you for the exercise.
Seeing as you already own a better machine and never
that you
touch
can't,
it,
that you can't exercise.
Yeah,
with.
I don't touch it. I was talking about my buddy earlier today. That actually, Mr. Spickle, that I may have to move my PlayStation 3 in the bedroom to play violent games because I can't. You know, with the kids around, I just can't play them. And I want to get the UFC game, and I can't.
Bring that bad boy down here. This is your little den.
By the way, our buddy Walter Sobchak was asking if the EA Sports Active actually comes with a strap-on fairy that I could use with it. And indeed it does. Indeed it does. It's very exciting.
But it's running in place and throwing your arms.
Running in place, it's punching. You're doing curls. You're doing. It comes with like an elastic, like one of those elastic tension bands.
Is there any activities that aren't like exercises? Do they have you do like the hula hoop type of thing? Is like
not that I've seen. No, these are all exercises with the EA Sports Active. It's like a personal trainer kind of sitting there telling you, hey, squat, fatty.
Not to be gay, but do they have Wii Dance? Because I think that would probably make you lose a hell of a lot of weight.
Okay.
I'm asking you, do they have it?
It would make me lose a lot of weight, but it would lose the weight of the Wii as I whipped it out a window instead of dancing.
I bet it would work. I bet it would work.
Wii Dance.
I'm telling you.
I want Wii Own.
Wii Dancing. What do you envision? Do you envision like
Wii Dance?
In like a...
See, I don't know how much weight a tango is going to help you lose.
What kind of dancing is really going to burn your calories? How's the fat going to like
the
drip
lumbata.
Off when you're...
The forbidden dance. Do the forbidden dance game. I'm going to create that.
Like popping and locking?
No, I don't think that's going to help either. I think, I'm trying to think. What would be a style of dancing that would help you lose weight?
Modern?
I don't know, tap?
Flashdance.
Nice.
It comes with a bucket that you dangle from the ceiling with water. It's really exciting.
How about We Lord of the Dance?
That's what I'm saying. Like
we
step Lord dancing dance, yeah. Or tap or claw crap.
We line dancing? comes with a Toby Keith CD?
I'm telling you, it's all you need is the active. You don't need any special things. You have your trainer sitting there telling you, although I will say that doing it in a house with your wife and 5-year-old daughter watching you, not advised. So if you have either one of those, don't have them sit on the couch and laugh and point while you do this in your living room. I'd advise against that.
The concept of what you're describing seems really strange to me, and this is coming from a person who actually really enjoys video games.
Right. I do not do this because I really enjoy video games. I'm doing this because it's a convenient way to get some sort of exercise in your house.
Right, but I mean, what you're doing is you're using a video game or a screen to sort of virtually reflect things that you could do right there in front of your TV without it, like
except for the fact that the things that you're holding are confirming that you're doing them with the right form and the way that you're doing it properly. The Wii Fit Balance Board actually detects a lot of things. It detects the pressure that you're putting on different pieces of your foot, and it lets you know that you're doing things the right way and that you're putting proper pressure on.
All right.
Chris, can you make your video trainer?
I could put a Game Shark in, I'm sure, and do 1,600 sit-ups in a minute if I convince it that.
It just strikes me as if you've got a video game console, the idea behind this is make you go through these actions, but make it entertaining in some way. So you're not sitting there watching someone or trying to mimic the perfect form of a sit-up. If you want to do that, do a sit-up.
And without a person there. And again, sit-ups are not one of the things on
whatever,
here to say.
You know what I'm saying.
But and it tells you that you're doing it correctly. This is for people that are awful out of shape and are not going to go to a gym because they're nightmares, and they're going to do it. And they're not going to just do a sit-up because they've gotten themselves into awful nightmare shape.
Well, I was thinking, like, instead of doing a squat thrust, like, show something on the screen that you have to squat thrust onto. And if you do it quick enough, like in a timely manner, you've crushed
a 19-year-old girl.
You've crushed the frog that just hopped below you. What a great job! Excellent trophy.
I'm sure that those games exist out there. That's not what this is. Yeah. This is not meant for your fun gaming trophy collectors.
Not your child's video game.
Exactly. This is for old people that want to exercise and make use of their kids' game system.
It actually makes video games not fun.
Can you make your trainer a guy or a girl?
Absolutely.
Would you make your trainer
girl? Of course.
Girl? Nice.
To see a little boobie shake.
Nice.
Hanging out.
Doesn't intimidate you that a girl's...
No, because I do the boxing with her. Punch her. No, you don't do that. No, it's fine. It's fine. She's not a real person. But doing it...
Does she have a name?
Alina's brain?
I was trying to come up with something funny. No.
No, she's just trainer.
She's just lady. Lady Bird Trainer. That's what I call her. Like I said, I got my wife and daughter on the couch laughing, making fun of me while it's happening. It was really great. It was really, really
so, so what's so shameful about Wii Dance? Is it going to be that much worse?
Oh, no.
Maybe now they can just throw stuff at you.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to do it. I won't do it in front of them anymore. I'm done with them. Yeah. I won't do it in front of them.
Wii Dance actually sounds pretty good.
They definitely have you're going to be a ballroom dancer dot something.
Well, they have like the Dance Dance Revolution. I don't know if you guys have ever seen those.
Yeah, somebody brought
games.
That up.
Those are actually pretty fun. Like those are they generate.
You have to step on
what
the
kind
arrow.
Of dancing is that?
It's not even real dancing.
Wait, Dance Dance Revolution? You
talking
about?
Oh, it's like Twisted of Music. That whole thing with
it's
on
like
the floor.
A pad on the floor, and you have to step on them in a combination that makes a figure jump around and do stuff. But you're thinking you want to learn dance or use like the Wii machine to teach you. Here's the tango step. You know, 1, 2, 3, cha cha cha, and then like you know, hopefully a month of that, and you know how to tango. Is that the intent behind Wii dancing?
Here is how you cabbage patch.
Nice.
Teach you the running man.
I'm gonna start dancing in my house. I'm going to lose weight by dancing.
Please record it.
I'm going to bet that you're going to start dancing in your house the day after you go to Planet Fitness. You'll be there.
I will dance tonight when I get home.
Okay.
A big electronic...
The forbidden dance. The lambada.
An electronic cardboard mat out in this dining room.
Awesome. Well, I think it's just about time that we finish this dance that is Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk, Thing You Do With Your Years and The Place to Be. One last time, our buddy Monocode is going to be having a fantastic time. The Vagabond Souls are going to be playing over at the Bitter End on the 24th. It's Bleecker Street, Manhattan, hosted by our friend Barb. It's going to be very, very exciting. In addition, we mentioned it earlier, without the information, Last Night in Brooklyn on Staten Island on Page Avenue at the Lion's Den. It's going to be on Thursday, June 18th, 8 p.m. Don't go to it because you're going to be listening to Best in Show, but if you weren't, then you would go. It'll be exciting. Special thanks to Steve LaLarper for calling. And,
so I should rethink that attending that I clicked
on. Yeah, you probably should. You probably should. Special thanks to all of you for just hanging out. Special thanks to Steve LaLarper, and I think that's about it. Special thanks to Words for being spelt. It's Best in Show. We'll see you guys next week. Cocky Socks, Steamroller, Roll Up Your Face. We'll see you guys on the radio. Peace. I'm a jerk. The Bag of Mental is July 24th, not the 24th of June, July 24th. I don't know if I said that.
You just said the 24th, so we assume June. So
of any month. Of any month. It's July 24th. Sorry. One more time, next Wednesday night on Hear Us Talk and in the Hear Us Talk radio room here on Pal Talk, Hellraiser 2. Exciting.
We should probably also mention that Monday there are clip show Monday. I don't think, did we mention that?
Oh no, is there a clip show this Monday?
There'll be a clip show this Monday at 8 p.m.
Exciting.
PM.
A Best in Show clip show.
A Best in Show radio memorama, I think. They were calling it. The kids call it that.
That's what they called it last week. Doesn't it have a different name every week?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I haven't listened to, I haven't heard this week's show yet, though.
I thought you
I'm
were
excited.
Like, I thought you were clairvoyant.
So where can I hear that? I can go into, like, the Hero Talk chat rooms and the
The same place you're going to be Wednesday night for Hellraiser 2.
Right.
HeroesTalk.com or in Pal Talk in the Hero Talk radio.
Nice. So Monday, 8 to 11?
That is correct.
Awesome.
Hellraiser.
Kind of personal.
entertaining talk radio broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.